There's some.
Oh, God. We can talk about that. We're going to talk about that on the podcast. Start recording so we can talk about it.
I am your follower. I enjoyed your program.
That's how it is. And please don't talk anymore. We're in safe. Because it's funny.
Actually, I like 50s though. I just love music. Honestly, it's like there's good stuff from the 20s, 30s. There's you can find really good stuff from any one of those decades. So
yeah, if you gone through a terabyte of his music, you would see that.
I don't have really that random. Much music.
I wish he did. Instead, it's this album looks awesome, and then you get into it, and it's like two tracks.
That's true.
I didn't have the space, man.
No, that's when I was first getting into it, though. When I was getting stuff from people, including your sister and mom. I was cherry picking because I didn't have the space back then.
Thank you, because I actually got a couple of tracks from Tim Curry.
Yeah.
Wow, that's just a really trippy song.
We do the rock.
Tim Curry's best movies ranked. 1. Clue.
Clue, definitely.
No, Rocky Horror Picture Show is better.
2.
Than Clue.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. 3. That's the whole list.
No, Congo. Legend.
Congo.
That's the whole
Legend.
IMDb.
Congo. Oh, Legend. Yeah, Legend. He was
Darkness
devil.
And Legend, man.
Dude, he was the fucking
I don't
devil.
I've seen Legend.
Legend itself isn't a great movie, but it has incredible iconography. When you see.
Visuals.
Yeah, when Darkness is on the screen.
And when he steps through the mirror.
Yeah.
Great scene.
Yeah. And Mia.
That's what he was called, Darkness?
Yeah.
He wasn't the devil?
No, Darkness was.
Or was Darkness the Blade? No, he was called Darkness.
That's what Rick James called Eddie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy. Darkness, Charlie
both
Murphy.
Both of them, he called them
yeah,
both.
Darkness.
Oh, no, he did.
But no, I believe that
Darknesses.
If I remember correctly, the demonic character from Legend was Darkness.
His father was Satan, because he goes, Father!
Yeah, I think it was alluded to without being specific about it. But also when Mia Sara is corrupted, that's hot.
When she's dancing and
she got the black lipstick and the dress and everything,
she's
that's
dancing
hot.
With a black shadow and she ends up being in the dress dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the visuals were great. Tom Cruise seemed really oddly...
He was out of place.
Yeah.
He didn't fit that.
He seemed very elfish.
Well, I can kind of see where you're coming from there, but he just did not feel like he belonged that era. Everybody else fit fairly well, although most people were saturated by latex, all the fucking makeup
but
in that
Tim
movie.
Curry, dude.
But Tim Curry was incredible.
He fucking owned that movie.
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's been a few years since I've seen it, but
I don't know that he was the physical actor. I think he just provided the voice.
I want to say he was, dude.
He might have been. I don't know for
but
a fact.
But I mean, with those massive horns and... Because if you really look at... I mean, I'm trying to remember. It's been so long since I've seen that fucking movie.
My mother used to watch it often.
Really?
She was very into the whole unicorn shit, so she watched it fairly often. I never sat down and watched that shit with her, but I'd always be around, and when something cool visually would turn up, I'd watch that part and then go off and do something else. Because that fairy shit, man. Ooh, I got no use for the fairy shit. The little pixies and all that kind of shit. They had fucking... That was a lot of fucking fairy in that movie.
Was that movie animated?
No, live action. Ridley Scott. It was a Ridley Scott film. It might have been his follow-up to Blade Runner, in fact. Yeah. I think Blade Runner was...
By the way,
they
are making a sequel to Blade Runner. How do we feel about that?
You know, honestly, Blade Runner is a movie I respect more than like, and I don't think, given that we've seen Prometheus and we've seen Ridley Scott's output of the last, you like Gladiator. I didn't even like Gladiator.
I like Gladiator.
But Gladiator was about the last thing he did that anybody really gave a shit about in terms of actually liking it.
I just think it's too late. It's
way too late. And unless they're going to do, even if they do, but they could do like a more faithful adaptation of the original story, do Android's Dream of Electric Sheep. Yeah. That would be interesting. And you could return to the subtext of Deckard's nature that they tried to allude to in the first movie and didn't do a very good job with.
In the book, isn't he an android? Or?
Yeah, in the book, he's a replicant.
That's right. I think you're the one that gave me that to read. I was like, someone gave me... I remember reading it, but I don't know why I read it. Someone told me read it, and I was like, all right, read it. And I remember they hinted at that, right? That was kind of the undertone of the story.
That's the end of the book.
Yeah.
It's him finally realizing that he himself is a replicant.
But through the book, I remember going through the book, he always kind of like, there's kind of like a hint, like I might be one, but at the same time, he's denying it until the very end.
I don't know that I got that necessarily. I just remember all the dreams and all his conflict with society and how he couldn't really relate to what his role in society was and stuff like that.
I think it's too late. I don't think enough people would care.
Like I said, if they do an actual adaptation of the Philip K. Dick book, it could be good. And as an original script from guys who were well past their prime in terms of their abilities, I don't see cause to care.
It's one of those movies I visit every few years and watch it and then kind of just...
It's a movie that did good good things for the medium. It had a great influence. I love the idea of sci-fi neo-noir, and other people have played with that, and I've enjoyed their contributions more than I did to Blade Runner. Blade Runner is a movie I think is... I don't know if that movie is made to be enjoyed. I think it's a movie that's made to be analyzed. I think it's a movie that's made for film geeks, cinephiles. Yeah. It's not made to just, like, eat popcorn and enjoy. Yeah. And it is plotting, but it's got certain scenes and certain themes that resonate with people. And I think that the people who love the movie, they feel it deeply, and I understand why they would feel that way about it. But it doesn't enter my own heart, so I have a certain distance from it. I have a reserve from it because it doesn't affect me the way that it affects some of these other people. But I get why they love it, and I'm cool with that. There's some shit that people adore that they think is that they put up on a pedestal, and I'm like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? That's an instance where, okay, I get it. I just don't feel it.
Yeah, because, you know, I just saw Judge Dredd the other day. Sylvester Stallone, Judge Dredd, and I was like,
the Stallone one?
Yeah, it's a masterpiece. I don't know why people don't get it. Sarcasm.
It's not even as good as Demolition Man, dude.
No,
Demolition Man is
horrific. Yeah, it's terrible. But I mean, it's not.
Snyder was worse, dude. I forgot.
Did you ever listen to the podcast I told you about? The How Did This Get Made podcast for Demolition Man?
Uh-uh.
It is so fucking funny. You need to listen to that. That is the best episode of that show. Because I've listened to a bunch of them since then, and none of them hold a candle to the Demolition Man. I laughed my ass off during that one. Because I was going through Space City Con, one of the years that I went there, and I was enjoying the podcast more than I was enjoying the convention. I was laughing on the podcast.
Is that the one sci-fi? More sci-fi than
convention? More sci-fi themed, yeah. So that was part of the problem. But also, it's just like walking through the con, only half interested in what I was doing there. It was much more entertaining to laugh and, you know, giggle amongst people and people thinking I'm probably high or something than the actual convention.
No,
was.
You probably fit in just fine, dude.
Hey, I want to talk about something.
Yeah.
And this may not last very long, but so people make a career out of cosplay.
There are some people that can
And they get paid for appearances.
Mm-hmm.
And they get paid and they're flown out to places to show up at these cons.
Yeah.
That blows my fucking mind outside of the skull in which it should be contained.
Why?
Professional costume wearer.
You have
dominatrixes they get paid to
show up. Yeah, I'm sure dominatrix makes more money than your average professional cosplayer.
To show up to a Comic-Con, what?
Well, no, I mean, yeah, like I follow one Doom Kitty, but she's just hot.
Well, no, and that's, I guarantee you there are approximately between 0 and 0 male cosplayers who are paid to appear at Comic-Con.
I've yet to see one.
It's all women.
Advertised.
It's all women. Dude, the last convention we went to, that one row, the Comic-Palooza, that one row was nothing but cosplayers, and they were all women.
Yeah.
Was a row of cosplayers you can go get, like, your autograph shit?
Yeah, that's where I met that Doom Kitty chick, dude. She was smoking hot. And there was, like, another one next to her. It was weird because they sell photos of themselves dressed as characters. They'll autograph for them. And then you can take a picture with them, and then that's it. I was like, okay. That's
super fucking weird.
Yeah.
I guess I agree.
It's
really peculiar. But see, the kind of thing was, a lot of them were kind of nerd chicks, though. They knew the stuff they were into, so that was kind
of
cool.
So it's almost like they specialize in touching the nerve centers of the nerd boys.
Yeah.
Because they look the part, they can talk the part, so it's sort of like nerd boy porn, I guess.
Yep. Sort of like?
Exactly like.
It's exactly like.
Right. And there's no actual sex involved, so you don't have all the weirdness and anxiety related to that.
But it's just weird that, like, you gotta fucking... Look, man, here's what I'm cut to, okay? There are forms where it asks you what your occupation is, and do you put professional cosplay?
And I'm pretty sure that's a self-employment form, or so they probably eat...
Or they
get their
contract self-contractor.
Yeah. Contractor?
Yeah.
Because I think I saw a documentary about one girl that she's like the number one cosplayer, and she has like a room full of costumes, and she makes herself.
Yeah, which I respect.
They all do.
If you're
not all of them do, but a lot of them do spend time.
They make costumes for other people, and I'm assuming that's where she made a majority of her money, was creating these costumes. Like, people were like, well, I love that costume you wore to this Comic-Con. Almost like they go out and they model their product, come back home, and then they make special orders. She seemed like she had it all together. I mean, she was going to all these different cons, and certain cons she wears certain outfits, and that after that she'll get 4 or 5 orders. And I'm assuming these orders are not cheap.
I'm sure they're not. Hundreds of dollars at a minimum. Yeah.
No, I think higher than that.
Well, I'm sure it depends on the complexity of the outfit.
Yeah.
It was like a onesie with some intricate designs and a few $100. But.
Because I think there was some show on sci-fi where they actually had like competition of cosplayers going against each other who could better make costumes and stuff.
That sounds right. Cool. There was one of those, like, they're supposed to be competing superheroes. They pretend like they have powers, but a lot of it's, I think, the cosplay aspect of it.
It's a cool aspect of nerddom.
So on the contractor tax forms, they can put seamstress instead of cosplayer.
Yeah. But to get paid and flown out for appearances,
dude, we live in an age of a chick opening toys on YouTube,
yeah,
making millions millions of dollars Touché. Opening toys.
Touche.
Are they actually making millions of dollars? Or are they getting millions of hits? Yes.
I don't think they're making.
No. The guy that does the
they're not making six figures.
The guy that does the ones for was it that fucking block game?
Minecraft.
Minecraft.
Yeah.
No, they said he pulled in like
Porky a Pie or whatever. Fucking yeah. Poobly P.
Like a little over $1 million a year because he has so many people. And like I said, my little one watches it, and I wanted to watch to make sure it was okay for him. And you're right, dude. It's just like really goofy jokes, and they're yeah. talking. And it's to me, I'll be like, after about 10 minutes, I was That's bored out of my fucking mind. But to a kid, it's funny because they're exploring, they're talking about
you stuff. And I had this conversation a few months ago where I was going to have this mm-hmm. whole, there's a whole subculture of YouTube stars who are vastly more watched and popular than television stars.
Yeah.
And
they had a South Park episode about that.
Right. Yeah. That was him, PewDiePie. That's the guy he's talking about.
Which I thought was a joke when you and I watched it. And it turns out, no, he's real. No, he's legit. He really is famous like that.
But so I was telling you, when I first started hearing about this, I was listening to the Jason Ellis show on Faction, and Steve-O was on it. And Steve-O was like, after the Jackass shit kind of dried up and they sort of dumped him off the show, and then all of his, what was it, Wild Boys and all of his shitty shows he was on MTV, that shit all dried up. And so then he was like trying to do stand-up, and he was sort of like, all he does is like nail himself in places. Like, well, you know, his range is starting to shrink on him here. So, and his agents couldn't figure out what the fuck to do. He had posted a video on YouTube and he got a shit ton of hits. And I don't know, I guess because it was monetized, so he saw money coming from it, and he was like, what the fuck? And he's kind of gotten into this culture where then you see these people and people subscribe to their fucking feed and they can't wait for every Tuesday or Thursday when they get that notification from YouTube saying a new video is posted so they can go watch a chick do an unboxing video where she unboxes a toy and shows you all the shit that's in it, or the dudes who unbox cell phones and stuff like that. And it gets to the point where there's so much ad revenue YouTube, you gotta watch Google with YouTube. They're changing some shit and putting constraints on people, but for at least for right now, people are making like legit fucking money on it. And like there was the one chick whose name I don't really know or care about, who's ridiculously popular. All she just like gets online, she plays some dumbass character, but she was on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld, and he was trying to fucking figure all this shit out too. But I think that one had like, was one of their highest rated episodes so far. And it's just so fucking weird because none of us give a shit about any of that stuff. But it's all the kids who don't watch any of the terrible television, because that's all we do is bitch and complain about how terrible television is. Well, apparently we're not the only ones that think so, because they're not watching it either. They're going to YouTube. Yeah. YouTube is their television now.
A friend of mine who has a toddler said they had a play date, and the father that they had the play date with put that channel where the woman was opening toys, and he said the toddlers were mesmerized by that because they take out the toys and they describe it. They actually play with the toys for a little bit, and he said the kids were just sitting there staring at it. He's like, dude, it was crazy. These kids were so into it. And I told him, hey, you know, my little one's watching the fucking Minecraft. So, dude, there's just, it's endless. So when you ask about cosplayers making a living, I mean,
you got me. No, that's true.
Paquita's nieces, this has happened several times, but it's more relevant the last trip they made up here to the U.S. In Mexico, they call those people YouTubers.
Yeah.
Because that's not like a translation. They literally just call them YouTubers, because even in Mexico, they're still going to YouTube. So they just call those people YouTubers. And when they found out we had a podcast, they were like, oh, they should become YouTubers. And they, you know, and Paquita was watching one of those PewDiePie videos because she
Terrible and not funny. I don't understand it.
She learned that from her nieces and was watching it, so it even managed to infect her. And what they like to do is there's apparently this Latino fellow who's bisexual, and they get off on him having little cutesy rom-com romances on the YouTube with other dudes and other chicks. So a little soap opera for them, except since this is a real person, which I'm sure is about as real as all the reality programming it's on television.
Yeah.
But I guess it's more real and more immediate on YouTube, so they're YouTubers, and they get millions of freaking hits from this stuff.
Yeah, like who was the dude who did the Leave Britney Alone? Remember that? Like he would, I would totally say he was probably one of the first people that got all this shit started, where that's what he does. He'd go on YouTube and vent about crazy
and
shit.
And it was an act.
Huh?
It was an act.
Well, I'm sure it was. That's fine. But it was only on YouTube, produced by him, sold by him, revenue collected by him. Right. I mean,
that's where that fucking Fred kid popped up too, ain't it?
Who's Fred?
The one that screeches and screams.
I don't know about that one.
There's some weird, it comes on Nickelodeon. He was on YouTube and then got to the point where they gave him a TV show and made movies for him. And he was one of those kids that just kind of like that. He'd go on there and he'd do his little shtick on YouTube and just created a career out of it.
It's not going to last forever though, because eventually, like I said, so there were a lot of, I subscribe to some Motor Trend. They do weekly series or monthly series. series, and they're only up on YouTube. So I wait for my subscription shit to pop up so I can go watch it. Well, there's one that's the Drive. Drive is like super popular, auto reviews and shit like that. Gorgeously shot. They've got really good personalities. Well, apparently that was it, the way it started was that YouTube wanted people to start producing these really high-end series. So they took some YouTube channels that were in existence and were like shitty low budget and said, hey, we're going to give you a budget. So we're going to give you the money up front, go make a video, and then we'll, you know, obviously it gets filtered to the top of searches and shit like that. Matt Farah, who he has another one called The Smoking Tire. He's been around online video reviews fucking forever. So he got some of his guys together and it's like, hey, let's start Drive. So they took the money from YouTube and they would go to Drive. They bought all this super high-end equipment. They shot these gorgeous videos, these awesome cars. And then they go and they're like, all right, YouTube, more money. So we need another episode. YouTube gives them more money. They go and shoot another episode. Well, eventually that pilot program ran out. And suddenly YouTube's like, okay, nope, now we're not giving you your money up front. You need to be able to produce your own video. It needs to be able to get enough hits to pay for your shit. So now it's like it totally flipped on them. So they had to go behind a paywall. So they're like, well, now we can't do our free videos. Now we got to charge you $7 a year, or we got to charge you $3.99 a month, and you can get access to our shit. And it bombed. Huge failure. Because it went from free to now nobody can watch your shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's eventually they're going to start clocking. They're going to rewrite their privacy statement and your ad revenue that's generated off your. And the other thing is also ad block is another thing. Everybody has ad block on their browsers now. If you have ad block on your browser, you're not getting any revenue from that watch on YouTube. Like, because YouTube knows if somebody's used ad block on your to watch your video.
Right.
If that's the case, there's no click through. You don't get any money for it. So in my opinion, the YouTube star is not a sustainable
model.
Yeah. It's not going to just keep building these unless it becomes YouTube, and then YouTube can't. You know, they have to back off, but it ain't going to happen. Eventually, they're going to just pinch these people where they're not going to be making a lot of money, and they're going to go try and get behind a paywall, and then it's all going to fall apart. Or they're going to be like, I'm not making enough money.
That before, didn't they? YouTube had threatened that before.
They do it all the time. Yeah. They keep pinching them for less and less and less and less and less. They're making less and less money. It's just not going to be. They're going to have to go get jobs. And if you go get a job, you stop giving a shit about your stupid fucking YouTube channel.
Yeah. Well, and eventually it's going to become decentralized. Everybody is currently on YouTube. Everybody aims for YouTube, but the networks, everybody who's got the money to produce shows, they're going to want to have you go to their places to watch their shit and their advertisements. So eventually YouTube's going to lose that tight grip that it's got on this. But the internet's not going to go away, though. These videos are not going to go away. They're just going to have to figure out better ways to monetize them. And it's not going to be going to YouTube. So in some ways, they're kind of fucking themselves, because sooner or later, there's going to be enough viable competition to where people won't go to YouTube as a default anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The Wild West version to get paid for it, I just don't see how that can continue to exist, where you can just get hits and get paid.
Well, and I guarantee you, too, while there's been some victories against stuff like SOPA, but it's not going to be terribly long before the government starts regulating the internet and making sure that all these companies are able to remonetize what they've lost over the years to the internet, because it hasn't been regulated. I know people are big fans of net neutrality, but I just don't see it being something that will be allowed over the long term, because the problem with net neutrality is it costs people money, and people who have money can afford to buy the politicians to make sure that their legislation gets through.
The more you know, kids. So we just went from comic books to I don't know where the fuck we're at anymore.
Yeah, we've definitely been in weird places. I think we're building our next Rolled Spine podcast, but I don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Tech Talk with Rolled Spine.
If only I could get paid that much for being a complete retard in front of a webcam and generate a few million views. All right, I have a very nice camcorder. Thank you very much. I think that's what's cool about YouTube, that anyone could technically do it, right? Surely, if I didn't exist, there'd be someone to film my place. I do work a tremendous amount. Like, I ask my girlfriend. And I think, Alex, if you do it too, you could do it. I believe in you.
We've actually recorded a bunch of stuff for Rolled Spine. There was a response to previous episodes, and I need to edit that together, but I figured let's get it all out in one place and put it all into one podcast. Okay, I'm going to read a comment, and you guys respond. Count Drunkula wrote, still working my way through this episode, so these comments will come in a bit piecemeal. One, embarrassingly, I find myself on Mr. Fixit's level regarding Leonard Nimoy. I came into Star Trek fandom much later, so my first and quite possibly strongest association with Nimoy is as the voice of Galvatron in the 1986 Transformers movie.
Yes.
No.
Two, when I watched Django Unchained with my wife, she didn't realize she was watching Samuel L. Jackson until the end credits. You guys are totally right. That performance was the first time Jackson played a character and not a variation of himself in 15 years.
Yes.
Yes.
Siskoid wrote, weird. My own problem with Django Unchained is that I can't not see Sam Jackson in that role. I find it so one-dimensional and annoying.
No.
The year was 1987. Guns N' Roses and Run DMC pulled a lethal combo and killed 80s pop. As for the other bands, Pixies is greater than Nirvana is greater than Guns N' Roses, and Bush isn't even on that scale. Part of Nirvana's iconic status has to do with Cobain's tragic death. The same happened with The Doors. It doesn't take anything away from the music, but it does add to the mystique.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Okay, come on, fuckers. You can do better than that.
Yes.
So what you agree with Siskoid that rap and the return to classic rock of Guns N' Roses is what killed hair metal?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said in the podcast. Yes, Guns N' Roses killed hair metal.
It's not called rap, it's hip-hop.
Okay, so Run DMC's hip-hop combined with Guns N' Roses' rock killed hair metal in the 80s.
Yeah, not grunge.
No, not grunge. I think hair metal just ran its course.
But you still had hair metal in the 90s, though, man.
You had White Snake, you had White Lion, you had the best...
Slaughter.
The best example Skid Row. I could come up with was...
Motley Crue.
They were talking to some hair metal band, Warrant, I think it was, and Warrant. The guy said he knew it was over when he went to the record executive's office, and they had a giant poster of Dirt, of Alice in Chains Dirt binder, and he was like, yeah, I knew it was it. That was it.
I was going to reference that. I didn't realize it was Dirt, and I couldn't remember which band it was, but that was an MTV special, wasn't it, or a VH1 special?
Yeah, it was one of it. Yeah.
The death of the hair metal?
Yeah. And so,
but that's just it, though. If it's Dirt, then that means it's grunge that killed
him. No, that means that's when he knew it was over.
Okay.
Guns N' Roses. That's what everybody's like, oh, wait, you can have long hair and not wear like weird spandex?
And not be poppy and wear makeup?
Wear
and
women's leotards over your spandex? I mean,
Guns N' Roses was always pretty heavy, even for glam rock.
And they wore jeans and leather and like stuff like that.
When I think of glam rock, I think of like New York Dolls and stuff of that nature, where it's not really heavy music. It's more about image and flashiness. And
here's another way. I think Van Halen and Guns N' Roses bookended hair metal, whereas you had that David Lee Roth started to really feminize the rock and roll.
And the theatrics. He really brought the theatrics to.
Right, really over the top theatrics. Way over the top with the performances. And then you transition to Guns N' Roses, where the look, you still got your lead singers with the very feminine looking long blonde hair, right? But it tapered off.
Everything. Well, not just that, so but Guns N' Roses looked less and less like hair the further on they went, instead of more so. They got less grandiose. Well, they began dressing more like regular people.
But the thing, they actually had the skills, though, man. Like, I mean, Slash on guitar really did. Like, you still listen to Appetite for Destruction.
Axl had chops.
To Appetite for Destruction, and it's still a fucking
But Slash also worked with Michael Jackson on Dirty Diana, didn't he? So it's not like he was averse to pop.
Well, he was insane.
I'm pretty sure, dude, anywhere the paycheck was at the time, dude. I mean, he was probably drunk off his mind.
And that was one of the most rocking Michael Jackson songs ever, too. I love Dirty Diana.
I mean, dude, when you start getting Michael Jackson money, that's like island money, dude. Yeah, you're going to do whatever the King of Pop wants you to.
Don't follow up with that with some sort of pedophile joke. Do not. What is it? The Jesus juice. Don't talk about Jesus juice.
I was about to say Jesus juice.
We're not going to talk about Jesus juice.
Dirty Diana was written by Michael Jackson. It appeared on Jackson's seventh studio album, Bad. After Beat It, Dirty Diana was the second hard rock song of his solo career, with lyrics about a persistent groupie. Jackson hired Billy Idol's guitarist Steve Stevens to back him on the track.
And as far as hip-hop, that was completely different. That was music for everyone who didn't want to listen to hair metal. I listened to hip-hop when it first came out. I bought Run DMC's first... Well, actually, I would say album, but I would say tape. I remember listening to it Christmas. We were driving up and down looking at the lights by Mickey Gilley's house and shit, and we're listening to it over and over. And the only reason hip-hop, you could say, was part of that was because the Aerosmith song they did, or the Aerosmith stuff they sampled.
Well, by teaming up with Aerosmith.
Yeah.
I mean, Run DMC, that Aerosmith was resurrected.
That brought them into mainstream.
Both of them, really. But I don't think Run DMC had anything in the mainstream prior to teaming with Aerosmith.
Right, they were kind of an underground thing. It was like, like hip-hop was, you couldn't really go to, I guess, what was it, Soundwave at the time in the mall to buy it, but you would go to the flea market and they sold all the hip-hop you wanted in tape form, and so that's where you would buy it. I remember trying to buy a hip-hop seat or tape at the Music Sound, and they had it like in the far back bottom corner of like Soul and Gossip, and I was thinking, oh, that's kind of strange. And, you know, everything else was heavy metal, or not even heavy metal, but glam metal
and pop. I'm sure.
I don't remember.
I agree that Run DMC were breakout artists and they helped bring hip hop to the mainstream. But I don't think I think rap helped to kill things like grunge a number of years later. It was slower acting, but I think it was more devastating ultimately.
Hip hop's killed everything.
Yeah.
No, I think everything's circular. Grunge just ran its course. Like right now, hip hop's running. It's eventually going to run its course. It's going to get too plasticky.
I think that's
fake.
A zombie art form at this point. I don't think hip hop ran its course. Years
years ago, and nothing has just risen up to replace it. So it's just shambling onward.
Yeah. Well, the next big thing hasn't come out yet. But the thing is, there's more genres to go and listen to. I mean,
well, you know, actually, I'm not sure that that's true. I think that perhaps the next big things have come along. We're just not like aware of it. Well, it's like the conversation we were having about YouTube and how little Timmy is getting his music off the internet now, and he's watching a video a billion times instead of it getting radio play. I was working with some students a few weeks back in their, say, early 20s, I would say. One of the girls was talking about how she's into K-pop. She was Asian, admittedly. But they were talking about a lot of different type of music that you can find readily on the internet but won't be on the radio. I think they're listening to that next wave of music, but we're not, because it's not coming to us through old media channels that we're used to.
Right. Well, we never hear anything new. Well, it's because it's not on the radio. Well, so we don't know that it's not there.
But I don't go actively look for the new stuff. I listen to a lot of Hank William III and stuff like that on my YouTube channels. Or right now, for some reason, I'm really big on a 50s music mix, all that old 50s stuff. I'm just kind of jamming to that now. It's very basic. It's not very produced or a lot of production to it. It's just really good music.
The really just raw recordings.
Yeah.
I love that, dude. So, the big thing is they always love to, whenever they we're going to fuck. And we always go fucking haywire on this shit. I don't even
know. No, dude, the other ones.
No. Here's the thing. This is going to be a roll call.
You're making me lose my place.
No, we killed the other ones with yes and no's, dude. So we got a lot of time.
Fuck. Asshole. Okay, so you know how they love to do this thing where they like to re-release albums remastered. So you got this old album you used to listen to and they're remastering it. Cool, I want to get the new version of it. If you ever still have your old original version, find it and listen to it. Because what they do is a lot of times they'll get people who aren't even like the original band members, because whoever is producing that music has now had falling out with those original band members, right? Like the band's not together anymore. And they'll re-record some of the music. Well, so it's just somebody, yeah, it's a new guy doing drums. It's not the same shit. And because it's close enough and because you haven't listened to your original recording in so long, you don't really notice it. But it's definitely produced, it's cleaner and everything, right? Go find your original version and fucking listen to it. It sounds a million times better than all those piece of shit remastered versions. They always sound better. And I'm talking about the first few printings of CDs sound amazing.
Well, and I just put it back up here too.
There's less production on it.
My father got into CDs fairly early. He was buying a lot of CDs when they were first getting popular, but he was picking them up at the cheapest ways he could find, which was often gas stations. And, you know, he still got a lot of those CDs from 25 years ago and shit. And the problem is, a lot of times it's the original artists, but not the original recordings. The recordings were made in the 80s, and the sound's completely wrong. It's completely off, but he's been listening to those shitty CDs for so long, I can't convince him that those aren't the original recordings, when it's readily apparent, and when you can go and listen to the original recordings and hear that they're better, that they're raw, they're more powerful, instead of these session players trying to like pop the shit up. So it's been going on for a long period of time. Now, you had a specific band, though, that you wanted to reference along those lines, though, right?
Nope.
I thought there was a band that you like specifically wanted the original...
I'm a thrash guy, so like Megadeth's first few albums that didn't have a huge release, like So Far, So Good, So What, Killing Is My Business, and Business Is Good is their very first album. But because those were not popular albums, nobody bought them. But then Megadeth gets popular, so then they re-release them. And they sound like shit because, they don't sound like shit. They sound good, but it's all cleaned up. And to me, there's just, it loses that character. I want to hear the original.
But see, you're like one of those vinyl guys that I want to hear the pop and the clicking in the background.
Well, that's what you just fucking said. You like listening to that old 50s stuff because there's a character to the recording, too.
But I'm not talking about that part of it. I'm talking about just the simplicity of the music. There's not a lot of overproduction. They're not jamming like 50 instruments into one song. It's two or three singers, maybe a guitar and a bass in the background. And it's a very simple song. And you can just sit there and you don't have to overthink it. It's just a really nice, I guess, early rock song.
Fuck you. Right?
Well, some music, like how I experienced it, I want to return to that experience. Some tracks sound better to me monaural. Some tracks sound better to me where everything's kind of flattened out. Sometimes I like it more with treble. Sometimes I like it more with bass. Some people, it
sometimes
just
you like
artist.
The voices that are in your face.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the way you first experienced it. I listen to a lot of music for the first time on like clock radios and stuff like that. And so sometimes I want to return to that sound because that was my experience and there's that element of nostalgia to it. But sometimes things get too clean. Sometimes, like you said, they lose their character. Some things, especially like with rock, you've got to have the testicles have to be in there. The balls have to be in there. And sometimes they clean it up and they take away, you lose some elements. Like just like doing these podcasts, I'll play around with levels and stuff. I'm in the room with you. I know what you guys sound like when we're recording. And sometimes when you start playing around with this stuff digitally, you lose elements of the our voices, how we actually sound, or background elements. Every time you diddle with that stuff digitally, you gain something and you lose something. But there's something to those variances in the recordings, and you just got to find your personal preference, I figure.
Yeah, but at the same time, you were kind of being a dick about that. But like the little clicks and pops that are in the original recordings, I like that shit. Led Zeppelin has a song called Since I've Been Loving You, and John Bonham's got a squeaky fucking bass drum pedal. And you can hear this shit super loud. And you can hear it through a few of the tracks. I think they even had like a nickname for that pedal because they kept fucking finding it on these recordings. So when they were doing all these new remasters not too long ago, I don't remember if it was Jimmy Page or Robert Plant, one of those motherfuckers that's still alive, was saying that he heard it in the recording afterwards and wished they would have taken it out. I can't not hear that song without that squeaky fucking pedal. It's like my favorite part of the song is hearing that squeak, 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 squeak. Like just, it's this rhythm squeak from his fucking, because they were just in some shitty ass recording studio with the equipment they had, and this is fucking Led Zeppelin, and they couldn't get somebody to grease up the goddamn bass drum pedal. And I love that kind of shit. So to think that I would, you know, if he was one ear away from erasing that shit out of the song sucks, and they do that shit whenever they remaster that stuff. So that's what I'm just saying. If you know, if you do have an old scratch
like
copy,
George Lucas fixed Star Wars is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. That's a good one because of nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now back to our yes and no answer.
Yes. Well, see, the thing is, but what I'm thinking.
No.
No, just a
yes.
No, hold on.
Perhaps.
No.
Since Roll's Fine is a different kind of podcast, and it's more about us bullshitting anyway and finding launch pads for which to bullshit, I figured we could probably make an episode out of the mail and you guys can just talk to your heart's fucking content without me having to edit a bunch of shit.
No.
Maybe.
We'll see how it goes. Cisco continues. Please don't talk about Nickelback. It is my country's great shame. Or any band that sounds anything like it. You know, Silver and Nickel Creed and shit.
Yes.
Yes.
I like Our Lady Peace. I just want to put that out there.
Edit that out of the podcast.
No.
Or you're kicked out. One or the other. You decide.
You're no longer executive.
Why don't you like Our Lady Peace? What are you guys getting?
Why should I like Our Lady Peace?
Because they're cool.
Because fuck you. That's why. What is their song? They must
have
had
a bunch
one
of songs.
No, they didn't have a bunch of songs.
Yeah. The biggest song they had probably here in the States was Clumsy. No.
That's not it? As clumsy as you. No.
Keep going.
Superman's Dead, they did.
That one.
What's that one? Somewhere Out There. They had some good songs, man. You guys are a little rough on them. And they did a concept album. So, you know, you don't get a lot of that from that type of group. I guarantee you we'll never get a concept album out of Nickelback.
I don't know. What is a concept album?
You know,
Enlighten me.
Where they actually, like, try to build an album out of, like, a novel, you know, concept. Like for instance, Styx's Mr. Roboto, whatever album that came off of, that was a concept album because they're doing a whole album about this oppressive future and the revolutionary heroes of
basically,
the
soundtrack to a movie that doesn't exist.
Sort of like that, but like, often they're like rock operas,
yeah.
or in their case, it had to do with some sort of an existential argument from some writer, and they built a whole song cycle out of that. So
Didn't the Moody Blues do one?
Possibly,
I just,
yeah.
I just think Knights of White Sabbath.
It wouldn't shock me if they had. I don't know. I know Rush is like all about concept albums from what I recall.
Wasn't 13 Step like that also?
It seemed like it, didn't it?
Perfect Circle?
It wouldn't shock me, yeah. I don't think he came right out and said it, but I would say so, yeah. Okay. Siskoy continues. There is still incredible music being made, but it's not mainstreaming. Radio is dying. The future is on the web somewhere, as Max says, and that's not getting to our ears the same way or at all, depending on our habits. I'm saying this as someone who's worked in radio professionally and whose bag was discovering new music while I was at it. It's something you can do if you don't work in commercial radio where it's all golden oldies. When did the early 2000s become oldies or top 40, which has always been a wasteland of one-hit wonders? We just don't know it at the time. So I reject any notion that there isn't some good and interesting music being made today. It's just not promoted the way it used to be when we were kids in the 80s and 90s.
Correct, because he was agreeing with all of my points.
I'm also aware that I've got a richer pool to draw from, not just French language music, but Canadian music that doesn't cross the frontier to the south. I think you get the short end of the stick when our exports are somehow Nickelback and Bare Naked Ladies, but not the Rio Statics or Tragically Hip. Then again, I don't know what you get down there in R&B land. I swear, that's not a musical genre up here. I never understood why the Grammys gave awards for it. They don't have R&B in Canada?
Rhythm and blues, dude. That's where rock came from.
Yeah, maybe they're talking about R&B, like the black R&B, like,
yeah, the rhythm and blues, dude. That's
no, but
like
R&B,
like you're saying, like Kendrick Lamar is not a thing in Canada, is what you're trying to say.
No, there's no Usher apparently from what he's saying.
That's
not
true.
Okay, well,
maybe in his area not, but I mean Kanye just did the,
what is he talking about,
just did the European Grammys or whatever, and it was a big deal. So
yeah,
if it's in Europe, why wouldn't it be hitting Canada?
Well, because Canada's in the North America and they don't have, like, I don't know, they don't, he said it don't have R&B. I can't dispute that. I've never been to Canada.
I have
been to Canada.
Okay,
Siskoid is wrong.
Okay, so you listen to some R&B while you were in Canada?
Did I listen to R&B when
on
I was
the
Canada?
Radio?
You know what? I did, and I saw Mounties, like, peeking through my window, so maybe...
Saw a lot of weed shops. Saw a lot of weed shops. That's what I noticed.
There's a lot of marijuana in Canada, for real?
Yeah, like cannabis stores. Or doctor shops, I noticed.
Oh, wait. But you were in, British Columbia or something, weren't you?
Yeah.
No. Vancouver. You were in, Vancouver, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's for real. Vancouver.
Yeah.
He's in Quebec.
Quebec.
So he's on the opposite side,
yeah,
I think, because of geography.
Oh, it was a nice town. I liked it.
So
maybe he's saying that the French don't get R&B? French Canadians?
Maybe.
I don't believe that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just not a genre he's exposed to.
He just said, though, he worked in radio, they don't have R&B.
Well, if you walk at, or if you work at a metal station, you're not going to go and listen to, like, Lead Belly and shit. I mean, it's not going to be something you're...
to?
Yeah, well,
maybe you should.
There's a lot of things you ought to do, and there's a lot of things you probably won't
Never
do.
Mind, I've gone back around. I think Sisquid's probably right.
I could care less.
Okay, so Count Druncula wrote, so no kidding, 2 days before I listened to this show, my wife and I were talking about Nirvana. I don't know if any of you remember or noticed, but the teaser trailer for The Social Network featured a boys choir version, cover version of Radiohead's Creep. My wife loved that song and discovered the same group also covered Smells Like Teen Spirit. We're listening to that song in the car and I stop and say, what's keeping this song from being great is that this is stripped down version forces you to pay attention to the lyrics, which are fucking terrible. It's a horribly written song. It's coked out, brain damaged gibberish.
I thought it was supposed to be like that, though.
Yeah.
Didn't he intentionally write it to just be...
You can't say shit, though. Your primary attack against Nirvana is a mosquito, my libido.
Yeah. No. But I like the lyrics. I mean, when you listen to... I mean, it's just music, dude. Like, it's... I don't know. I mean...
Kurt made music to fuck with people on purpose.
I think he was... Oh, absolutely. And I think he was coked up half the time, so I mean...
Like...
He was a sonic troll.
Now, let me know if I'm speaking wrong here, but I thought that when he made... They made In Utero to repulse all the people that jumped on Nevermind. Like, all the jocks that fucking were pumping Nirvana hated.
That sounds
so they're
exactly
like,
right.
We're gonna go and make some twisted shit. Like, if you flip through the pamphlet for In Utero, it's some pretty horrific imagery, right? Just off-putting imagery, right?
Well, they were censoring the album cover.
Cover, even, right? And instead, people ate it up. but they made the entire album to go for... one of the singles is called Rape Me.
Yeah, that's a good song, too.
They're doing it on purpose. And I think that Smells Like Teen Spirit is the same thing. He's mocking all the dumb fucking jocks.
Right. Well, and I just like, with the lights out, it's less dangerous. Here we are, now entertain it. So I think it makes up for the stupidness of that particular part of the, you know, world thingamajig.
But I don't like the song.
I like the song performed by everybody but Nirvana. Because I'm just so sick of Nirvana's version of their own song. Not one of the stronger songs on Nevermind.
No, it's not.
Because we all know that's Something in the Way.
Just because I've heard it a million times. Yeah, it's Something in the Way.
Okay. Count Druncula continues. I was never a huge Nirvana fan, but I could find about 15 songs I really liked or loved. All apologies. I was faithful to Pearl Jam first out of the Seattle sound, but I totally hear you guys in calling them the Generation X's Grateful Dead. I have good friends who go to Pearl Jam concerts and still collect bootleg albums of the band's tour. Now, I don't think the group put out a great album after Vitalogy, but 10, Versus, and Vitalogy are great damn albums.
Yes.
Ghost and Incesticide, it's a really good album. Nirvana.
Yeah, we were talking about Pearl Jam, though.
No, he started off talking about Nirvana.
Okay. I'm not a big fan of Vitalogy, I just want to say. So.
I'm telling 10. You, they had one good album. Yeah, I'm sorry. Like Pearl Jam had one good album. Pearl Jam had one good album.
I just said 10 and Versus 10. Was a good album.
10.
I never got into Soundgarden because I thought Black Hole Sun was a vacuous bore, but I freaking love Chris Cornell's voice. I got into Audioslave because of his voice. And Matt can say Cornell isn't successful or popular, but the guy sang the theme song of a fucking Bond movie. That is the worst theme song of any Bond movie, easily.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't get why they would select Chris Cornell to sing the song of a Bond movie. I wasn't saying he wasn't popular. I'm saying I don't understand what he is doing to warrant the popularity.
Well, because those songs are iconic. I mean, you think of Goldfinger or any of those songs, and his song it is the worst by far.
I can't, what is it called?
I don't know. I just remember.
Give me any.
The only imagery I noticed, I remember, is it had like playing cards.
Yeah, it had imagery, which was the same.
Which was great.
From the, wasn't that from the title sequence of Casino Royale, though?
That was Casino Royale, wasn't it?
No, that's what I'm saying. The song was on the Casino Royale soundtrack, but I think that they were taking those card elements from the credit sequence of that movie. I don't recall if that was specific to the video or not.
Doesn't matter. It was a bad song.
Point is, I can't name you the song. I can't sing a verse of it. I can't hum the basic rhythm. Nothing. And when I was a kid, one of my favorite albums was a collection of Bond themes. I used to play that tape over and over again. They went up to, I think, Octopussy or somewhere right before that one. Because they didn't have View to a Kill because they couldn't afford.
That's a good one there.
Yeah, they couldn't afford, you know, during.
I just liked Goldfinger. That one just always stood out.
Goldfinger's great. But there's so many great Bond themes. To this day, most of the Bond themes are great. The only other one that I think, I mean, and I can sing it though, but Madonna's Die Another Day is also terrible.
Right, we'll sing it.
Die Another Day.
Sound like
hate that fucking song. But at least I know that song. I can still sing part of that song. I can't even tell you the title of Chris Cornell's. It's the worst.
Hey, dude, let's also remember, this is a time when Bond films weren't doing that great. Like, they were kind of shaky.
Well, that was the revival.
Yeah, so they were pretty much anyone they could afford at the time, I'm pretty sure.
I'm sure Chris Cornell didn't give him any kind of a discount or anything.
No, I'm pretty sure
That was like one of his big singles after he left, or after Audioslave fell apart. And Audioslave did pretty well.
Oh, what was that?
Because the band. band was so good.
Well, and he provided great vocals. And the songs, personally, I like Audioslave better than Soundgarden, I will have to confess. Mm. I don't because think the band the songs, was better. Yeah. The Soundgarden had better songs, but Audioslave had better albums. I enjoy all three of their albums.
Audioslave was great live. I saw them live.
Yeah. Oh, you did get to see them live, yeah, didn't you?
Saw them live. They're fantastic.
With your brother-in-law, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of sorry I didn't get to do that. I would have liked to have done that. Yeah. That was cool.
Until they tried to cover some Rage Against the Machine, and it was Chris Cornell, stay in your lane, homie. Don't, no, sir. That was really bad. I think they did, they try and do Guerrilla Radio. It was awful. It was really, really bad. He can't do it.
What happened to the Rage Against the Machine revival?
Well, no, they said when they got together, they were playing shows just to play shows, and they were at no point supposed to be recording anything new. They were not going to do any of that.
Did Zach De La Rocha ever do anything after Rage?
Yeah, yeah. He's doing something.
Solo stuff.
He just featured on, I was going to show you this video tonight, too. That's funny. What is the name? There's a new hip-hop, kind of underground hip-hop band, or a hip-hop group that just came out, and it's like so-and-so with Zach De La Rocha, and I'm fucking blanking on the name, but the video was fucking intense. Run the Jewels is the new, is that hip-hop group.
Run the Jewels?
Run the Jewels.
Have you heard any of the new To Pimp a Butterfly, whatever, Kendrick Lamar?
No.
People are fucking hyping this shit. I'm just...
Maybe Kendrick Lamar has a lot of hype, man. I don't...
I'd have to listen maybe a couple times before I bash on it. It's just...
I don't see anything special about Kendrick Lamar. I mean, he's very lyrically good. Lyrically, he's terrific. I just am not... I'm not trying to play this right now. Unless you guys want to watch it real quick, we can.
Go ahead, what the hell?
There's Zach without his dreads. Run them jewels fast. Run them jewels fast. Run them. Fuck the slow-mo.
That was just funny that you'd find a Run the Jewels song, because when I saw the album cover at the end of the video, I realized that cover is referenced in not one but two Marvel comics released in a given month. A Deadpool cover and Howard the Duck with Rocket Raccoon.
Really?
Yeah. And of course, their cover references another rap cover that I'm not familiar with. Because rap? Yeah.
Ah.
Also, I was going to say, I was reading through some of your replies to people on the blog, and you were wondering which Nirvana albums I could do without. I don't think Bleach is any good at all. I hate Bleach. There's one song on Bleach I like.
Okay.
Love Buzz, which is
Love
a cover.
Love Buzz is a good song.
And Incesticide, I like maybe half of it. And I realize that's a compilation, but pretty much all the best stuff, for the possible exception of Sliver, were covers too.
Sliver, great song.
Yeah. And I will also point out that on Incesticide, Aneurysm, I vastly, vastly prefer the live version of Aneurysm from Buddy Banks of the Wishca over the studio version.
That is an awesome live album. Yeah. Buddy Banks is a great, great album.
Yeah. But Aneurysm live is like one of my favorite Nirvana songs, whereas Aneurysm on Bleach does not very much for, or sorry, on Incesticide does not very do very much for me.
Hold on, I'm trying to find it. Hey, hand me the track list, dumbass.
Which is Incesticide?
Bleach.
Okay, that's Incesticide, so you have to switch over to Bleach.
Oh, so good. Sliver, Been a Sun, Son of a Gun, New Wave, Polly, Beeswax, Arrow Zeppelin, Big Long Now, Aneurysm. Good album, man. About a Girl's a good song.
The live version's better. The version from MTV Unplugged?
Yeah, I'm aware. Yeah, you're right. Bleach isn't great. So is that the one?
I said two. Bleach is the one where I do without the whole album with the exception of one track.
Right.
And Incesticide, I only like about half that album. Okay.
Half an album is still... Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but I really don't like the other half of the album is a thing. Okay. Oh, wait. There's more of you writing.
I like to be interactive with our commenters. Hey, thanks for commenting. I try and take the time to reply to each and every one of you because I find you valuable listeners.
Okay, so you discussed briefly The Doors and Mastodon. I didn't know if you needed to elaborate that as an audio function.
No, as long as... I think it was Siskoid, right? As long as he wasn't taking shots at The Doors for saying that they and Nirvana had that in common, that both their lead singers got kilted on themselves. So
Saliva and Godsmack are both Canadian?
No. I was just saying they're shitty pop rock bands.
Okay. That's a serious sin for Greta to bear.
Yeah. No, just when I think Nickelback, those are some more of those shitty pop rock.
Sure. Bands, yeah. Okay. Siskoid continued. You guys talk about Canada in a coherent way. Well, not from the way we were talking about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. Sorry.
At least I can talk about Texas, having lived there for 6 consecutive summers due to parental shenanigans. I don't know 2/3 of the Canadian crap bands you just named, which shows how good I am at insulating myself against bad music. Or perhaps we just export crap that doesn't do well all that well over here because the U.S. laps that shit up. I don't know. No Attack on the Doors from me. It's rightfully considered genius stuff. However, track down the post-Morrison album for unintended hilarity. Somehow Mosquito became a big hit in French translation as sung by the French Elvis, Joe Dawson. He could only ever improve what is one of the most awful songs in the American discography.
Yes.
I'll just say that the Doors are overrated.
The Doors are not overrated. We're gonna fight right now.
Fix, Joe?
I don't think they're overrated.
You don't think the Doors are overrated?
The Doors are not overrated at all. I don't, who rates the Doors? They're not the Rolling Stones. They're not the Beatles.
Hey, man,
they're
they
not,
got their own movie back when Oliver Stone mattered.
Man, nobody remembers that movie, dude. Quit dating yourself, bro. How old is that movie now? Do people even remember when Keanu Reeves wasn't 300 pounds? Or not Keanu Reeves. When Val Kilmer wasn't 300 pounds.
He's not 300 pounds anymore. He's actually very slender. People thought he had cancer or something.
Right, because they were like, wow, wasn't that fat guy?
Fat Kilmer, yeah.
He lost all that weight. He must have cancer, not that he just returned to work. Because nobody knows the Doors.
He's doing it for the Real Genius sequel.
No, God, he's going to play Kang, dude.
God willing, man. Fucking Real Genius is badass. Jiffy Pop, baby.
Yeah.
Or Top Secret would be good, too.
No. No. I hate those fucking movies. What was the point?
Siskoid continues, I lived in Ballinger, a 3,000 inhabitant little town somewhere between Abilene and San Angelo, but traveled all over. It was the 80s. I was between ages. I'm not sure I should really read all this. Went back after college exactly once, but by which time the parental unit was in Lubbock, but I didn't see a lot of that. Man, we don't need to go through
all
this.
Dude, look, man. If
Siskoid was all over Texas.
Stop. No, he was not all over Texas.
He wasn't.
He was in Oklahoma and the fucking purgatory. Because if you're using Lubbock and San Angelo as your reference points, you are not in Texas.
You're what I believe we call southern Oklahoma.
Yeah, Lubbock is actually, I think Lubbock might actually geographically be north of some parts of Oklahoma.
Really?
It's up in the close to Panhandle.
Yeah, no, he was not all over Texas.
No. You need to come down to H-Tine. We all ride deep on 24s and keep tight fades.
Siskoid also references Baptist Bible Camp, basketball camp.
Now you're talking Texas.
Rattlesnake Hill and a vineyard.
San Angelo is part of Texas because of oil and shale and whatnot and high school football, the Permian Basin. That's all very Texas stuff. But
that's small no, Texas
but please
towns,
don't judge Texas by that, please.
Well, see, but I mean, are we qualified? Because we're really Houstonians. Houstonians are not
Houston
legit
is,
Texans.
Yeah, Houston is Texas.
Houston is not Texas.
We are literally the capital of Texas,
look,
I believe.
Houston, I believe it. One time we were.
Actually. Houston is not. Dallas is not. Austin is not.
Well, Dallas is Oklahoma, so I don't know how you brought that up. Dallas is like 30 minutes from the Oklahoma border, north of the Oklahoma border.
It's great that we were able to alienate even our Texan listeners.
They're not Texan, so it's not. What? I don't understand what you're not understanding about this.
I'm lost on this.
McAllen is more Texan than Dallas.
I'm saying that as Houstonians, we really can't speak for Texas because Houston is a different thing than a lot of the rest of Texas.
No.
No, I just think that we're Texas. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm lost on your train of thought on that one.
All right, moving on.
Okay.
Eternal Rage was talking about how our first episode was just shitting all over the bands that he loved. And I listened to the episode and there were instances where it sounded like we were trying to shit on bands, but I don't think that we necessarily were. For instance,
wait, unless Bush was one of the bands he liked.
Then we totally shit on that. We totally shit on
it. I don't like all Bush, but I like most Bush.
I prefer mine shaved.
I prefer mine in office as a president.
You prefer yours as big Gwen Stefani's, but prefer.
No, I was Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
You don't like Gwen Stefani?
I'd walk in her spider web. Hey, I'd walk in her spider web. Hey, I'd some other single
really?
They had.
Like
I'd totally let her some other song they had. What was another
song? Yeah, I'd go deeper into the dish salad if I can, like, bathe in her bath water, that kind of thing. But that was from Return to Saturn.
I'd let her touch my bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. I don't know, dude. I can't think of it.
I mean, she's a very attractive woman.
She definitely will be transforming into an alien at some point. Like Gwyneth Paltrow, how she used to be attractive, and then the older she gets, the more skeletal and alien
she's. Well, she's always been creepy to me, but I actually got dragged to a No Doubt concert, and she can't sing.
No Doubt was never any good live.
Yeah, I think I heard that. I
was
surprisingly shocked how bad she sounded. Like,
the band as a whole sounds bad live.
I guess you could say you got caught in her spider web. I got dragged.
Just stop.
Dragged to the
beating that joke there.
A concert.
I guess it was her.
She's just. I wouldn't mind being a girl in her world.
I guess it was her vocals were really bad. Her vocals.
No, the whole band was bad. It's not just the vocals, man. Don't put it all off on her. That whole band sounds bad live. Off tune, fucked. You know, just look bad.
I don't remember that part. I just remember.
I've not seen them live. I've heard recordings of them live, and that's not. They're not the whole band.
Yeah, I want to say
can't single her.
I think they did Saturday Night Live, and they were super shitty when they did Saturday Night Live too. And she had like a gut or something.
I don't know about that. They're not a great live band. Wow, we got off track though. For instance, though, I really love Nine Inch Nails. I don't want to.
Yes.
And I know you love Nine Inch Nails. When was their last good album, though?
Their last good album?
Because I mean, I love With Teeth.
Didn't they
do something since then though that was still
but
good?
But Teeth, dude, I can hear from track. I can hear from in. You know,
that's a great album.
I never get tired of that.
Actually, their new album was pretty good too. I bought their new album and I like that one.
But I haven't heard the new album or his new album.
What was the name of the new album?
I'm fucking
Lincoln. Internet, save us. internet, only hope.
Save us.
That's pretty cool. Thank you. He's an evening hush.
She.
Or she.
Hesitation marks.
Yeah.
Boom, I got it. My internet won. Look at all this Nine Inch Nails that I have. Look at all this.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I've got a lot of Nine
Inch Nails. It's a lot of Nine Inch Nails.
So we just want to make sure it's clear. We're not shitting on Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, never.
But you were saying, you, Max, specifically were saying that the old stuff doesn't sound as good as you remember it. Would you like to elaborate on that?
No, I did not say that.
You did so say that.
Really? Nine Inch Nails?
Yeah, you said.
Oh, wait, I did not say that. I never said that.
I have audio. I can
please find audio. Wait,
did we have drinks that night? You know, Mac,
well,
he gets
well, actually, we did have drinks, but it wasn't, you weren't there.
No. What you, which you're an ignoramus and did not understand what I was saying. I was saying, how can that shit not be as good as I remember if it's still getting played on the radio? Because people say Nine Inch Nails, that old band. Well, then why is it still fucking on the radio? Why was With Teeth a gigantic fucking hit?
And by the way, they could play that album live and it fucking rocked.
Yeah.
Nine Inch Nails is one of the only bands I would brave Toyota Center for because I hate that venue. I hate
the hand that, the hand that feeds was a huge. The Hand That Feeds got airplay, got radio play.
It's a great fucking song.
Yeah.
With Teeth. But you loved specifically Every Day is Exactly the Same because you were living that song at the time that thing came out.
Yeah, that one hit really close to home. Very close to home. Still one of my favorites too. Only reason I will sit there and watch Wanted over and over. That's the scene when it comes out.
Sorry, I hit the wrong button.
Yes, you did.
I never actually saw Wanted. Was that any good?
Right Where It Belongs, by the way.
Did you ever read
that? That's great. And they closed the concert with that one.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Wait, did you ever read Millar's Wanted?
I read the comic book. I never saw the movie.
Okay, so just take out all those superheroes, make them assassins. Pretty decent ending. And that's about
it. So here's my story. Here's my story about Nine Inch Nails. Frank and I went to go see Nine Inch Nails in 2005, I believe, at Toyota Center. This was a particularly awkward concert for me because the Houston Astros were playing the St. Louis Cardinals. I think it was game 6. Roy Oswalt was pitching, and we were about to go to the motherfucking World Series. So anytime there was a small intermission, the entire arena was crowded around TVs in Toyota Center. In the concourse area, they would have the game on. Everybody would run up the fucking stairs. And then didn't we like sneak in one of your fucking friends? One of your fucking friends?
No. Oh, yeah. He was giving me a hard time about the tickets because he wanted me to buy the tickets in advance, make sure he got it. And then once he actually got to the venue, he was trying to buy off the scalpers instead of paying me what he owed me because the scalpers were underselling because they had too many tickets left over. And so I had to guilt him into buying the ticket I bought for him at the actual price that was supposed to be charged for the ticket.
But then at some point you like needed my ticket because they were gonna slide it to somebody out the fucking door so they could come in with the fucking ticket.
Possibly.
All sorts of stupid awkward shit with your dumb fucking friends that I didn't care about. Anyway, so
that
was
much
weird.
Younger, so that's worth
so
pointing
that
out.
Was also weird.
And I think cocaine was involved too, by the way.
100% cocaine was involved, definitely. And it wasn't me and it wasn't you. It was your fuck job, candy nose, teeny bopper friends. So then the concert, fantastic. Astros are going to the World Series too. These are all excellent things. Frank and I go our separate ways, or I drop you off at your place, and then I get a call that one of my coworkers was out celebrating the World Series trip and is so demolished.
Oh, I remember this, Larry.
Demolished from alcohol intake that two of my other friends, who were also demolished, but slightly less so, they were cognitive enough to ring the phone to me and say, hey, you have to come save us. Friend C is yelling at cops and we're trying to hide him from the police because we are all publicly intoxicated currently. And he got there before us. We don't know where he parked. He's in some garage downtown and he keeps just leading us around thinking that he recognizes the garage he's parked in and we're definitely going to get arrested. Come help, please. So Mac doesn't know jack shit about downtown Houston at the time. So I go bleep, bloop, 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 and I call this guy,
Frank.
Motherfucking Frank, to get on Google Maps on his probably shitty 56K modem and I'm like reciting street names because I'll get a phone call from some friends and they're like, we're at the corner of fucking Leland and something, and I'm like, where? So I'd hang the phone up and then call Frank. I'm like, Frank, I've got a job. What's the name of the fucking person in DC that does this shit?
Oracle.
I'm like, and you're like, it's like, I'm like, Oracle, dude. And I'm like, this is the worst conversation I've ever had in my life. Fucking DC comic book nerd motherfucker. I'm like, please give me directions. I need to know where this is. And he's like, what direction are you heading now? So then he'd be like cross-referencing and then like click, 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 like trying to figure out, you're gonna need to take a left and then a right. And then I'd hang up and I'd call, we're over on this street now. And I'd have to call Frank back. So he was like, because we didn't have navigation because poor and also because 2005. Anyway, so we eventually got our friend, a work friend, so we didn't know where he lived. So we had to pickpocket him. He was passed out drunk. So we were having to dig through his pants to find his wallet, get his address. And then we drove to his house, but we weren't sure if he had a home security system and he was unconscious. So we were going to take his keys and open the door, but we weren't sure if we were going to set off an alarm. So we were walking around his house at 3 o'clock in the morning, peeking through windows, just waiting for someone to call the police on us.
That was a weekday too, wasn't it?
it?
Probably. I don't know. I had a weekend job at the time. So weekdays were not the same as weekdays are now, right?
Right.
So then suddenly the drunkard wakes up and has drunk guy strength and starts throwing us fucking around like goddamn Savage Hulk. And he doesn't realize it. He's just so drunk. He thinks that we're just roughhousing in his front yard at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then he just goes and he walks into his house and he passed out.
That's better than my observation. What was that band Josh Homme fronted?
If you don't know, we definitely don't know. I can tell you that.
I didn't recognize any of the last 10 words you said as words in the human language.
No, he did that song, the Go With The Flow that you like.
Go With
The
Flow.
Go With The Flow, yeah. Oh, and
we're losing the audience. Please hurry up and just pick up the goddamn tablet.
That Queens of the Stone Age was only playing stuff off of their most recent album. We were all kind of bummed out about that.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, because they opened for Nine Inch Nails, and you were like, hell yeah, man, Queens of the Stone Age. I'm like, Queens of the Stone Age kind of sucks, dude. And you're like, no, they got some good tracks. And then...
No, the album that they had prior to that was good.
And then didn't they actually...
Play, they didn't play any of the singles from the first
though.
Album, right?
They did, but they sounded so shitty, you didn't even recognize them.
Yeah, yeah. But that's still a good... That first Queens of the Stone Age album was really good.
Oh, yeah, no, it's
people like Queens of the Stone Age. I'm not a fan.
Really? Just the one album.
I just don't... I'm not feeling them.
Josh Homme does seem pretentious, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's got this smug... He reminds me of, like, if Craig Kilborn were a musician, that's who he'd be.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Craig Kilborn. I don't know. I assume.
I was say, did he
not? I don't know. I assume.
I know his career did, but...
Suicide in his own career.
Yeah. And I was also going to point out that I really liked All the World, Love in the World. Great song.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good song, too. I'm telling you, that album is super underrated. Yeah.
Okay. So we all still love Nine Inch Nails.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Never stop.
We all love Tool.
Yeah.
And we've also seen them live.
Yes. And didn't that was a great picture you found, two of us on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's another story.
So awesome.
There was a huge fucking intermission at this Tool concert, also at Toyota Center. Weird shit happens to us when we're at Toyota Center. And so I'm just like, you know, we're like on our phones because it's 2013 probably at the time, right?
Yeah.
So we're just fucking around on our phones waiting for this goddamn forever intermission to be over with. So I go home, or was it happening as we were there?
No,
it was,
you went home because you texted me the next day, dude, look at this picture. And there's us in the background looking at our phones.
So stop. You're derailing the story. So I go home, I check Facebooks, and I see that a friend of mine was at the concert, and one of his friends tags him in a picture, which puts it on my timeline, just in case you guys don't know how Facebook works. It's a picture of them taking what the kids call a selfie. And in this selfie, there are three motherfucking assholes sitting behind them on their phones, and it's me and this guy and this guy, and I'm pointing at Frank and I'm pointing at Mr. Fix-It. And in the comments, they're saying, look at these fucking lame-ass dudes behind us on their phones the whole time. What a bunch of fucking losers. Don't they know they're here to see Tool?
And I'm like, and you're fucking taking a picture with your fucking camera, you fucking ass.
So I posted, I'm like, that was me! And I was like, we were on our phones because we were bored as shit waiting for the band to start. And they were like, oh, yeah, okay, I guess I understand and all this stuff. But it was funny, they were trying to make fun of us, and then I called them on their shit.
Yeah, because
we
weren't taking fucking
And also
selfies.
Hypocrisy, because you're taking selfies waiting for Tool to start. Please.
Yeah, but that was a cool moment.
Super small world.
So we still love Tool. Yes. Although I like
New album.
Less than the rest of you guys.
New album dropping soon.
Was Lateralis the one with Schism?
Yeah.
Like Lateralis less than you two.
Okay.
Quite a bit less, in fact.
That's fine.
Who else did we say made it sound like we didn't like, but we actually still love? Can you think of anybody else from that podcast?
I like Soundgarden. I like Soundgarden. I just think they're just overrated. I think they're overrated because of Chris Cornell.
We shit on.
No, we didn't mention Toadies.
Okay, I'm trying to remember any conversations I was part of music. I can only remember the Toadies.
More badass 90s music. Helmet.
Yes.
Toadies.
Well, actually, because I was wanting to bring this up too, because again, this was Eternal Rob Rage. Zombie. Pantera, glam, post-glam.
Rob Zombie, White Zombie, super overrated. Go ahead,
really?
Sorry. Keep going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
no, super overrated. Rob Zombie, very overrated. The guy is still a film director. How the fuck did that shit
That's what I'm saying. He's like Chris Cornell. They've never put out really any good music, but for some reason, he's just in the music industry, and I don't...
His greatest hits album, which combined the hits of White Zombie and his solo career, Rob Zombie, as a pretty solid greatest hits album. Listening to full albums of either White Zombie or Rob Zombie? No.
I'm telling you, dude.
He was good for a greatest hits album, and he hasn't done a... I mean, did y'all see Lords of Salem?
No.
Yeah, nobody else did either. Me neither.
So. Hey-o.
What the fuck all he do? Because House of a Thousand Corpses wasn't any damn good.
I'll tell you what
Devil's
he did.
Rejects.
He did more human
Devil's
than...
Devil's Rejects I fucking had issues
He did
with.
More human than human. And that's
Halloween.
What he did.
Oh, the fucking Halloween! That was the point where I was just broken, because I hated that fucking Halloween movie so goddamn much. Because
well,
he fucking ruined my... Well, I don't like the... Actually, I like Halloween 2. I'll be honest. I like Halloween 2, and I like Halloween 4
His
and 5.
Or the remake? Or the original?
No, the original.
Okay.
The original Halloween 2 in the hospital. I'm one of those fucking... You know, because, you know, Halloween is now hallowed as this great suspenseful movie. It's almost bloodless, and it's all about the suspense. And I find the first Halloween tedious as fuck.
rock. It is so boring to me. But I love Michael Myers, and I recognize that Michael Myers, more than Norman Bates, is the godfather of the slasher movies. And that Halloween 2, which admittedly borrowed heavily from the cliches that were already forming around movies like Friday the 13th, but I thought that they won up the Friday the 13th movies. It was higher quality. It had a more interesting story. I liked the whole ripping off of Empire Strikes Back and revealing that Michael Myers was the brother of Laurie Strode, and created, because that was the beginning of the real mythology related to Michael Myers, and that's what I'd really dug into. I like all that weird druidic shit they brought into the franchise, and I just enjoy Michael Myers' visual. I think he's the creepiest looking of the silent, taciturn
William Shatner mask.
Yeah, but it looks good. It's a good visual, and I just like the stories related to Halloween more. I really, and 4 and 5 I particularly connected to, because I saw those at a young enough
totally
age.
Skip 3.
No, I like 3 too, but 3 is its own thing.
I always thought that was weird that it was Halloween 3 and nothing to do with Mike Myers.
Well, I will say though, but I respect that, because you know the story behind that, right?
No.
What it was is
But go ahead and frank us real quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell it. Wait, let me get all ready for this story.
Okay. So Halloween was a surprise success, obviously. Uh-huh. John Carpenter did not want to do Halloween 2. And so he pulled a Charlton Heston. He said, okay, I'll come back, but only if we fucking kill off Michael Myers and this is the last movie with Michael Myers in it. So he comes back in one drunken night after having seen Empire Strikes Back. That's when he came up with that little fucking twist I just talked about. He admitted that he ripped off Lucas or Lawrence Kasdan, whoever.
If you're going to do it, do it from the best.
Right. And so they killed off Michael Myers in the second movie. So they wanted to do a third movie, the producer did. And so the idea was, okay, we'll turn Halloween into an anthology series, and each movie will be about a different thing. Mm-hmm. And it just, we will get away from the whole slash movie thing. So they made 3, and it was subtitled Season of the Witch. And the director continues to assert that if they had not called that movie Halloween 3, it might have been a success. I don't think so, because it's not that good of a movie. But I like the chutzpah that it took to try to turn that into an anthology series. And I like that it's just this interesting, weird, idiosyncratic element to this series. It's not like every fucking Friday the 13th has to have Jason. Every Nightmare on Elm Street has to have Freddy. I like that they at least tried to do something different with that. But if you watch the movie today, it's a really terrible movie.
Just so you know, I was fucking with you. You've already literally told me this exact story word for word twice already.
What?
We've talked about it because we actually watched it one time at my house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I remember it came on because I was talking about how I liked the mask and the thing. And then you were
I did like the mask aspect.
And then you kind of went into it because I remember, I even asked you, I wonder why they called it Halloween. And, well, let me tell you the story.
Okay.
I got franked.
Well, sorry. But I did like the mask aspect. I think that was a good 30-minute episode of The Twilight Zone that became
it was very dark.
Yeah, but a very bad 90-minute. The ending, too, is still a classic. Silver Shamrock, you know. But there's at least an hour of that movie that you could just do without.
I haven't seen enough of those movies.
And it doesn't make any sense at all. None of it.
Here's my favorite movie slasher movie thing. Jason X. And it's over. Jason X destroys all of them. I could probably watch Jason X a million times.
I did laugh my ass off.
Yeah, that was funny. Do you want to do marijuana on half? Was it
premarital sex?
I was like, okay, that's kind of cute. That was pretty funny.
So just in case you haven't seen Jason X, there's a sequence that takes place on a holodeck. And these two bimbos are running around with their tops off. And so you cut away to the people in the space station trying to deal with a defrosted, millennia-old Jason.
Who's any technology by then, or absorbed technology?
He'd become a cyborg by that point.
And so they cut back to Jason, and the girls are in
sleeping bags,
and he's just slamming them against trees. Their bodies breaking inside of the bag.
But they're like giggling and laughing inside.
No, I got that trumped. Jason versus Freddy.
No, Jason X is better than Jason versus Freddy.
Dude, it was so bad and funny. And the ending was one of those endings where kids have been fighting each other on playgrounds for decades. Who would win? And they couldn't. They at the end, they still pussed out. Where yes, you have Jason walking around with Freddy's head, but of course Freddy winks. So it's like, well, really, who won? No one won. Like they didn't have the balls to declare a winner.
What are you talking about? He's walking around with Jason.
At the very end
was his mask, and Freddy's hand comes up.
That was the last Friday the 13th.
Oh, that's the last. Okay,
that's how they teased it after New Line bought the rights.
At the end of that one, you see Jason. He's walking back into the lake,
and Pinhead was supposed to be in it, right?
Nope,
never.
I thought that was one of the things they were going to put.
They talked about that. They've still.
Clive Barker is very tight. I heard his properties.
He wasn't tight enough to keep almost all those movies from being garbage.
Oh, hey, shots fired.
Yeah, dude, there's like 7 of them too. If you go on Netflix, they're all on there.
They are so bad.
Really? Like I saw one, and so we rewatched 1 and 2, and actually 2's pretty good. Still.
2 is a good. Both then of the, three, the first two are solid movies.
Then
it's with 3 that goes off the rails.
4, We did. Have you ever Netflix watched something where
go through the whole series,
zip it through? Yeah, you're like just flying.
Oh, where you're like
it.
Jumping around,
basically fast forwarding through the movie to kind of just get to the good scenes. And I'm like, the one in space looked kind of interesting. I'd have to go back and like watch
I
that
did,
one.
I
believe I watched that one, because that one, if I recall correctly, I think it's Bloodlines.
Bloodlines.
And that one I think it's like 17th century.
Yeah, pre-terror. The guy who created the boxes.
Right.
But then as you start getting further down, like production values just dropping.
Oh, yeah. Dramatically. Well, the last one is supposed to be made for like thousands of dollars. Really? You know?
Oh, you can tell. They looked atrocious. Horrible. They had one.
So you watched it on there then? That last one they made?
The one that was so cheap they couldn't even get
Doug Bradley back?
I'm like zipping through it. So I don't know if I got that far. The last one I remember zipping through is one where one of the, what I call Cenobites,
yeah,
is a camera, like a video camera in his head, and it's like zooming in and out.
Didn't they do that in the third one?
No.
It was just a CD guy. The CD Cenobite was in the third one, though, right?
I think so. I just remember seeing it.
Lethal CDs at people?
Yeah.
I've really seen only flashes of any of those movies.
The first two are good. The rest of them are atrocious.
Just real quick. So yesterday I paid for Hulu Plus because I kept telling my granddad this, and the only thing I could really salvage from it was Flash Gordon from the 80s. I ended up rewatching it.
Why? Don't you own that?
It held up. No, dude, I don't own it.
You don't own that? I've got a copy of that one, actually.
Someone told me that the Blu-ray is supposed to be really good because it has all that extra
behind-the-scenes stuff. That might be worth checking out. I'd like to see... That's a movie... I love the production design more than I like anything else.
I love the soundtrack, dude. The soundtrack. I thought Queen rocked that shit.
Yeah, but it does get a little repetitive after a while.
But it's so cheesy, dude. It's like...
Oh, it's gloriously cheesy.
I love it. It's so
Gouda.
I like the Falcon King where he's like, you know, he's telling everyone to die.
Oh, Brian Blessed?
Yeah, Brian Blessed. Dude, it was great, dude. When I watched that movie, I literally was put back in the 80s at my mom's house with a VHS player, and we're sitting there watching it, and I remember we rented that movie from International Videos, and it was like the hardest video to get because it was always rented out constantly, so you were on a waiting list for that fucking movie, and we got it, and I was so excited.
Yeah, I remember all that. I remember waiting lists for...
Yeah.
It's such a glorious movie to look at. It's just as when I actually sit down and try to watch it as a story, and you know what? I want to say I had either a storybook synopsis of the movie, like how they used to do that where before, because here's one of those things that the kids don't remember. There was a time before VHS tapes and cable television when you would do things like buy books about movies, because that's the only way you could revisit the experience of seeing the movie was to have the book. And for somebody poor like me who couldn't afford to go see the movie, I would either have the Power Record related to Flash Gordon if they made such a thing, or I had a storybook where they told the basic story of the movie with still photographs.
Frank is 97 years old, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to out you like that, buddy. Didn't mean to out you like that. We are actually in his room in his retirement home right now recording.
I thought this was a hospital.
Oh, dude, he was not supposed to know. I told him we were going to the new retirement home.
I shit into a plastic bag on my belly. Yeah.
I welcome death and sweet, sweet oblivion.
I believe will be his last word.
With my Flash Gordon Power Record.
An inch of my intestine is hanging out next to my belly button.
Stop it. You're getting too real with this shit. No, stop.
You freak him out, dude. You freak him out a little too much. See, look, his eyes are getting all jittery and shit.
Stop it.
So, but it was just weird. I was watching because, I don't know if it was worth it. I mean, for the TV shows, I really didn't sit there and watch it. Flash Gordon was a nice little flashback right there. Enjoyed it. Good times.
Hey, the daughter of Ming the Merciless, she's hot.
So continue on that comment.
Now, let's be honest. That was a cool looking Dr. Doom.
You're talking about that one guy?
Yeah.
He was a good looking Dr. Doom. It's true. He looked better than any of the movie Dr. Doom. That guy's name was.
But I love the fact that when Flash throws him on those spikes and you see his tongue and his eyes pop out of the helmet, if Doom was the go, that's how he has to go. That just looks so fucking creepy. And then, of course, he turns into black liquid and just like the suit flattens out and you see all that black liquid. So, okay, let's go and move on.
Yes, continue on. We're doing
roles. We were going off because I don't have that's like all the comments. Because you and Siskoid going back and forth for a lot of that time.
Siskoid's my bro.
Yeah, Siskoid's cool. I need to get him on one of our shows eventually. I need to call that guy up and ask him questions. But you never answered the whole Pantera glam, post glam comment.
Oh, I didn't miss it. So, what was the comment?
It was Eternal Rage talking about how he liked the glam era Pantera and then he also liked the later stuff.
I thought he was joking that he liked the glam era Pantera.
I think he actually I think he confirmed that he did enjoy the naive enthusiasm of
I can see that. So then I posted the Alice in Chains video, which did you watch that?
No, I never got around to it.
Oh my god, you should have watched it.
Alice in Chains was a
super shitty hair band.
Really?
Yeah, and they've got one of their performances up on YouTube and it is
in like Guns N' Roses.
Yeah,
it's Alice in Chains. A cover band.
In Chains. No. I think they're singing their own shitty glam metal in full like Lane's there, full spandex. They're all there in full spandex, spinning the fucking the drumstick. And the,
Alice headbands. In Chains.
Yes, before they were Alice in Chains, it was Alice in apostrophe Chains or apostrophe in Chains.
Holy shit, I have to see this.
I will bring it up for you.
Oh yes, internet. I have to see this. No quickly
to
way.
The internet,
because Alice in Chains is one of my favorite grunge bands. Well, would you consider them grunge bands?
Nah.
I think that Alice in Chains is like almost a prototypical grunge band, but the word dirge has to come up 7.2 because they had that slow, swampy.
They always felt more southerner to me.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like you're in a swamp and you're trying to go through the mud and the tall grass. That's what their music sounds like. You're like swamp ass music, but not country swamp ass music. I don't know, someplace more grungy, but dirgy and stuff.
Oklahoma?
Nah. You remind me of a video game that we had where you could go. It was a computer game, and you would go through all 50 states and try to, like, I don't know. You had to go through all 50
wagon
states.
Trail
or something Oregon? Like. No. It was like set in the modern day. But anyway, the level for Oklahoma, it was just like monster trucks in mud trying to run over you, and you're trying to like collect corn in the midst of the mud and the monster trucks. That was the Oklahoma level. Was there
dueling banjos in the back? Oh my God, 1986. Alice in Chains.
Lane just cannot pull off. You can tell it's Allison. You can hear the drums. Okay. That's Allison Chains.
Oh, look at that big hair.
That's Lane, dude.
No way. Oh, he's even doing the glass sunglasses at night with a big coat. This is a front. Wait, that is not. No fucking way. Yes. Dude, if I was like that, I would die of heroin,
but
too.
But you can tell his voice cannot do hair rock. Listen, buddy's got the glasses, though.
Let me see his face.
You'll recognize his voice.
Oh, no, dude, you can see it in his face.
God, he's got the teased up bangs and crimped hair.
So that's what they were playing in Seattle at the time?
I don't fucking know where this was. Listen to that shit, dude. That is.
Jesus, this is horrible.
His voice can't do it, dude. No. He can't sing like that.
Dude, this shit is feathered to hell.
Dude, it's so teased.
Oh, this is horrible. Please, please, put something decent on now. Christ almighty, that was horrible.
So awesome.
That was bad, too. Alice in Chains. Oh, that was so bad.
Was he the one who did Mad Season?
Yeah.
Okay, so put on Mad Season. That one track was good. It narrows it down really
quick. Really?
You like, Frank Mad, Jimmy, you like the Mad Season single, right?
Yeah.
What is Mad Seasons? Why don't I know about this?
That was Lane's side band after Allison Chain.
Oh, for real?
Iron Glad. Now, that's a band I wish I had seen live.
Yeah.
They look
you still
like
can.
Oh, nah, yeah. Dude, it's not the same, man.
That's like saying when I saw Audioslave, I actually saw Rage Against the Machine. Yeah. It's like, nah.
Rage Light, maybe.
Like, they played some songs I recognize.
See, now you can hear his voice.
Lane looking really good, huh, guys? Big blur.
Oh, you couldn't dam the river. Anyway.
He's smoking on stage. Oh, so early 90s. Badass.
Remember, that's a slacker generation. Drink coffee, smoke cigarettes, do good drugs.
All right.
You almost wonder where the shift came in for these bands.
Probably.
To go from like glam.
I'll tell you what happened. It's like, hey, Alice in Chains, we recorded this. You guys want to take a look? Okay, put it on. We need to figure some other shit out immediately. And they went back
but
to the drawing
board. They saw like a big shift with like let's say Nirvana and bands like that that were coming out at the same time.
No,
like,
this
removal of all that crap. And
I'll tell you what probably happened without ever doing any kind of research or having no actual.
So these are all assumptions. All assumptions
is that fucking shit, like he said, didn't work. So they went back to Seattle, and the Seattle sound was coming up, and they were part of that Seattle sound. They were at the forefront of it, in fact, because they were on the fucking single soundtrack, which was like America's introduction to the Seattle sound, and that shit fucking worked. So I don't know how much they contributed to it. Obviously, they had their own distinctive sound, though, amidst the Seattle sound, but they were part of that whole crop of guys that broke with the single soundtrack. Fucking Pearl Jam, Soundgarden. Nirvana wasn't on. Were they on the soundtrack?
I thought they were.
Smashing Pumpkins were on that soundtrack. But wasn't Temple of the Dog?
Mother Love Bone is a bunch of the different guys from the different bands.
No, Temple of the Dog was the collection. Mother Love Bone was an actual band. The lead singer died, and then Eddie Vedder and Chris Cornell teamed up with them to do Temple of the Dog.
Yeah, that's the song Stealing Bread.
Yeah.
I don't mind stealing bread.
What was
from the mouths of decadence.
I'm going hungry. Nobody can do that.
But I can't feed on the powerless when my cup's already overfilled. Oh, Frank gets way into this shit, man.
But it's on the table. You were singing with me.
Yeah,
I lost
good.
You.
No. Knock it out, dude. You sounded like a young Elvis.
Oh, fuck off.
You know, right before he died on the toilet.
I was going to say, just after he died.
Right before he died on the toilet, man. That Elvis right there, that moment.
No, you sound more like the conjoined twin that died inside his mother.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's his stillborn twin brother. That's what you sound like.
Dude, you know what would have been? It would have been great if Elvis lived and he would have done like Johnny Cash and sung a bunch of Nirvana and Temple of the Dog songs.
He did some covers though, remember? But he was covering Frank Sinatra.
Myself today.
To see if I still feel. Dude, Elvis would have fucking rocked the shit out of those songs.
He would have sweated so hard singing those songs. Dude, he would have sweated so hard.
They'd have been like, what's the smell of bananas, bacon, and peanut butter?
It's leaking out of his pooers.
Well, I was about to say, I sounded like
I pee popped.
Death rattle, but it didn't come out of his throat.
Oh, man. That is a brutal death rattle.
Hey, dude, the king went out on the throne. So you can see.
I was alluding to a death fart, so yeah. Just in case you guys missed
it. Don't explain the joke, dumbass. I was alluding to a death fart, you guys. I know you guys totally didn't get it, even though we all totally got it.
Oh, my God. Sometimes Frank just... in his own little world there, in his own little world. Oh, that was fantastic. But, dude, it would have been cool if Elvis lived long enough to do covers like that. I think that would have been some fun.
Well, no, but that's the thing. He wouldn't have made it to the 90s, probably.
You don't think still, so?
I mean, he was in his, early 50s when he died?
Think so. I think he would have lived at least into his mid-70s.
With his habits?
Yeah, but by then, dude, he would have been, well, that's true.
Papa, don't preach. Yeah. I'm in trouble deep.
I don't know. He had made more of an 80s kind of thing, probably. Nah. I mean, he would not have made it through the 80s.
No, his career would have had to be a little stagnant, and he wanted to be rediscovered. And then, you know, Rick Rubin come in and like, hey, Elvis, why don't we do some contemporary songs? How do you like this? Papa this
is,
Don't Preach.
This is called, this is from Ace of Base. Can you sing this song here, King?
I saw the sign. It opened up my mind. I saw the sign.
Wow. You know, you could go on the road, man.
I feel bad we're picking on him now.
No, I'm picturing, when you say I could go on the road, you're talking about those guys with the signs at the lights, I'm thinking.
Yeah, like those, yeah.
Those guys, yeah.
But you need change.
But you gotta do, you gotta actually
you
go
need
up
change.
As like,
we all need change.
Go up as like Elvis's ghost type thing, you know, like black, the you know, a white sheet and then just the hair, the glasses, and the belt.
I've been staring at the man in the mirror, oh yeah.
Well, he did bang his daughter, so that's...
Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah, there's some kingliness that...
Okay, let's be honest. He did not bang Elvis's daughter. Come
think
on.
So?
He might have tried to bang Elvis's daughter's son, but... Oh.
Whoa. Oh. Full circle on this podcast.
Wow.
For sure.
Well, that'll definitely be edited out. Absolutely. There was a stunt. I think she's a lesbian.
You think she's... No, she's not a lesbian. She's got all these kids. She's had a few different marriages and shit.
I know lots of lesbians with lots of kids. Doesn't really stop them.
She does have a little bit of a sapphic quality, doesn't
she?
A little Melissa Etheridge kind of thing going on there. Okay, I kind of see where you're going.
He's
going
to be like 55 and then she finally comes out. She's like, I love pussy more than I've ever loved dick. And then,
but you'd think she'd have done that already. That could have been could have given her a career.
No, because you gotta remember, dude, she's like the last. Everyone looks at her like the last connection to Elvis, not the wife, not her mom, but her. Like that's his. Do really people see the grandchildren, like her kids, as Elvis's prodigy?
You know, I don't see those kids. They've done a really good job of shielding those kids because she's got kids. I don't know what they look like. I don't know what became of them. Nothing.
Are we talking about?
No, we're talking about Elvis's grandkids.
Hey, shout out! I just wanted to shout out to Blanket.
Okay, anyway.
Specifically Blanket?
Just Blanket. All the other kids creep me out, but I kind of feel bad for Blanket.
Which one was the girl that tried to whack herself?
I don't know. So there's Prince Michael, Blanket, and then the girl, right?
Well, isn't like Blanket Prince Michael the third or some shit?
No,
or Michael Jackson
Michael
the third
was
or
another
something?
One.
No, Prince Michael's the first, the eldest.
Right.
Then his sister, and then it's Blanket.
But his name isn't actually Blanket.
No, I believe
it is. His name is actually
legally,
Blanket.
Like,
I believe legally his name is Blanket Jackson. Yeah.
And I think maybe what it was Blank, and someone was like, it must be Blanket.
No, I think he was very clear. It's Blanket.
Yeah.
He was like, hey.
Did he ever say why he named him Blanket?
He said, hey, y'all, his name's Blanket.
Because Apple was too mainstream?
I just remember him dangling the
because
kid.
Because tarp was taken.
I just remember him dangling a poor kid from the fucking balcony and everybody going nuts over that.
Man, can you imagine if he did that nowadays? That'd be even crazier today.
That would have taken him away in a heartbeat.
Yeah, now we're just like, that's salacious. Or then they were just like, oh, that's like salacious.
Dude, have you seen those pictures of Neverland Ranch now?
No, what's going on with that?
Someone had taken pictures of it, dude. It's like decrepit. Like they were trying to sell it. Nobody will buy it.
Well, who could afford it?
Probably because they do a black light test whenever they go through.
Oh.
But they were showing like...
How long does it take for that place to stop being radioactive?
My understanding is that if you bought Neverland Ranch, you had to care for the animals as well. So maybe you have to like wait for these fuckers to die off.
It's like
and
an official preserve or some crap.
Well, most likely, I guess his money's still coming out of his estate, take care of him. But they were showing like the rides and shit and they're all like rusted and I was like, oh, that's kind of fucked up looking. Like it looked creepy as
that
shit.
That sounds cool actually. Did you see that gorilla horror movie that they shot in Disneyland or Disney World, one of the two?
No.
You heard about it though, right?
No.
You never saw the trailer to that?
No.
Shit.
Find that? We're too loud. My bad. Read you loud.
Edit out my wife's name from the damn podcast. I think a large part of our female audience likes it. They think I'm single. So we have
there's
keep
no
that
way
aura.
They think that.
We
they're
have
like,
to keep that
they're
aura.
Like, the dude's such an asshole. He must be asexual. Sure.
That
he
was
has
like,
to be asexual.
That's like Usher's career tanked when he got married.
I don't know what's more delusional, that you think that makes you more attractive or that you think we have a female audience.
Oh, neither like, are true.
Yeah. Hey,
it's probably catfishing you, dude. Our one female member.
I think Frank's catfishing me.
Escape from Tomorrow. Why don't you cue that trailer up?
Why don't you do it and Chromecast it, homie. Because
I don't have the Chromecast
up
on here.
How confusing he gets. He's like, there's so
not on the tablet.
You don't have YouTube
so
on your tablet.
So many buttons. So many buttons.
Watch. It is on YouTube.
Awkward silence.
I pushed the button.
So many buttons. So many buttons. It's in the other room.
Like, I did it that one time. Remember, she was watching.
It wasn't like a red tube ring, was it?
What the fuck?
The hell?
Is this a real movie?
It's a real movie. What they did is they guerrilla shot the movie at like Disneyland or Disney World without Disney's permission. They can't actually say the word Disney anywhere, and they didn't have any licenses or anything, but they made a whole movie about this evil like robot cult inside of Disney World.
Okay, they basically just stole an episode of Venture Brothers. The bees. What's his name? Bixby? Dude in a wheelchair? Okay, I guess you don't watch Venture Brothers anymore.
I don't
But that's
kind
of that
several seasons
same
behind.
Concept.
I'm really upset.
But see, you can look. They even managed to reference Mickey Mouse's paw.
Didn't they show Mickey? You know what? I've seen that, but I didn't know what that was.
Yeah. See, they were able to allude to Mickey Mouse's bloody paw in the movie poster without actually
explicitly
stating it. I kind of want to
see that. That's pretty cool. I want to watch it. Yeah, it's probably going to be shitty and horrible, but I think it'll be fine. Did you ever watch that through the one Banksy movie?
Exit Through the Gift Shop?
Exit Through the Gift
Shop. Did you see that one?
Yeah,
I saw
it. We ought to, because Paquita's a huge Banksy fan.
I've seen it like three or four times.
She had all this shit everywhere at Banksy, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, I just love his work. I don't want to put it up, but they do this thing where he actually goes with someone to Disneyland, and the Gitmo prisoners, he creates an inflatable character with the whole suit. And he's here in the U.S. just hanging out, and he decides he just wants to do this on the fly. So someone goes with him to record him, and he goes where there's this ride. He goes, he jumps over, he ties the Disney character up, or the prisoner, and he sets it up, and then he walks away. And the guy's still recording, and all of a sudden the ride stops, and they're like, ladies and gentlemen, for your safety, and they, like, literally Disney cops just infest the area. They're just going nuts. And the guy with the camera was with Banksy, and they pull him aside, and they're starting to interview him, and he's talking about how he, like, hid the video in his pocket, and he's like, erasing other tapes to show them. And Banksy was talking about how, like, he literally just changed clothes real quick and was amazed at how these cops were just looking for him left, right. They were freaking out. They didn't know it was a terrorist attack. They thought it was a terrorist attack at first, which I would believe. You know, I could see that too, but it was like, you know, his street art. That's a great scene in that movie that I remember. I've seen it like two or three times, and we definitely gotta watch
that. Was
it
an Exit Through the Gift Shop?
Yeah.
Why don't I remember that? I've seen Exit Through the Gift Shop.
That's the one, remember, where he hit Mr. Mindbender, whatever, the guy who's following them is starting to kind of
I remember the movie. I don't remember them doing anything in Disney.
When
I
go to Disney, they stopped the train, and I mean, a whole shebang. I think he mentioned that they shut Disney down because of that for the day to figure out what happened. And Banksy, like, basically just kind of changed clothes and just walked. I think he even said he went and rode a couple other rides, had a meal, and like just walked out like no big deal. So it was pretty interesting.
I don't think anybody's allowed to die in Disney World.
Dude, if you go online, there's some crazy stories about Disneyland. Somebody
like you're not declared dead till you're off the property. Nobody's ever died in Disney World. Even people have died in Disney World, heart attack, shit like that. You're not declared dead till you're off the premise.
Well, they did show the contracts for the employees.
Oh,
dude,
hey,
those things are insane.
I know all about that. I have a friend who did an internship at Disney for an entire year, and he said it's the most bizarrely ran.
It's like a cult, he said. The thing I read.
It is. Yeah, it is. They do shit like your paychecks are docked by the minute. Like, you have to clock in everywhere you go, and for every minute you're late, your paychecks dock because everything is tracked by key card. There's a whole subterranean earth underneath Disney World because that's the illusion. You never see anybody changing shifts. You don't see any of that stuff, and it's because it's all underground. All shift changes, cafeterias, all this stuff is all underground, and it's all crazy timed. The timing for everything has to be perfect. You can't just show up late to work. It doesn't happen.
Well, the one they showed really was the guys really that strange. Wear the costumes, and the goal of the costume for women is to become a princess. For the guys to be a male character out of the costume, and it's like really vigorous competition to get to that point. Guys bust their ass. They go out of the way trying to get, I just want to be a lad, or I just want to be this other guy outside of the costume. It was crazy. And then they talk about how if you are dying in your costume, head never comes off. Doesn't matter. Head stays on no matter what. Like, oh, this crazy shit. It was really interesting. And then someone had gone into the old safari part of Disney that's been shut down for a while, and they were taking pictures. And it's, I mean, falling apart. park. They have rides. They had an, it looked like a, at one time it was supposed to be a hippopotamus, but the skin had come off. So it was like a skeletal looking hippopotamus with its mouth wide open. And these guys were just kind of walking around taking pictures of this shit. And they're like, dude, this, it's this huge piece of land out there and they're not doing anything with it. And it's falling apart. The rides are dangerous. So it's kind of interesting. I'd like to check that out.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. It sounds cool.
Yeah.
I like dilapidated stuff.
Yeah.
Well, someone,
like anytime those viral quote unquote videos or pictures of Chernobyl pop up, even though I've seen the pictures a billion times, I'll click on them just to see the people are going through. They're taking pictures of all the old schoolyards that have been deserted. But I just think it's cool.
I think somebody told me that those guys that took all those pictures just started releasing them all because the
statute of limitations
is over.
That's what happened.
There's like a mini movie they made of they walked in and out of buildings and they're talking about how like it looks like people just walk, like there's like plates of food and shit just sitting there. I mean, it's just plates, but it'd be kind of cool. I want to watch it, but someone was telling me it's on YouTube. I just haven't looked it up yet, so that's kind of cool. Disney's always been kind of weird to me.
Yeah,
anti-Semite,
among other things.
Yeah, he was a Nazi.
He wasn't just
sympathizer.
An anti-Semite. I think he was a Hitler sympathizer. Yeah.
Hence the famous Donald Duck cartoon where he's hailing Hitler and building bombs.
Classic Donald, right? Yeah. I was always more of a Daffy guy for that very reason.
Very much. Yes, yes. Matt Daffy's my favorite. So.
Yeah. Next.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
The podcast ended an hour ago.
How long have we been on now?
Total of about hour 20, hour 30.
Dude, there's a whole podcast right there.
That's what I'm saying. That was the plan. The idea was we would answer the mail, but instead of it being this thing I'm trying to force into an episode that
actually that was
kind of
fun.
Content,
just
cool. Chill out. Well,
now I do hope you keep that first few questions because you were annoyed as shit. We're like, yes.
Yeah, I'll keep that too. What I'll probably do is take this Disney shit and move it to the front and then move into the letter stuff and then let that trail off of its own volition.
What else did I see on
because
Disney?
We did so much music stuff that I'd like to have a little bit more movie stuff toward the front to let you know that it isn't just a music podcast.
Well, like someone was showing me that crazy lady who says Monster is a satanic drink and Disney's full of sexual imagery.
Disney is full of sexual imagery.
You think
imagery.
So? Like you really believe the castle is that dildo in the
background? Yeah, I totally believe that because I totally believe that these nerdy, bored illustrators who are constantly having to work on this
so the Lion King,
children's bullshit.
When he lays down, it actually spells out sex.
It does. I guarantee you because they're so fucking bored. Just like in Roger Rabbit when, what's her face? Jessica Rabbit
gets
goes
knocked out of the car. Yeah,
and you can see her bush as she's
You don't
flying.
See a bush. It's just a black spot between her legs.
Why would she have a black spot between her legs?
Well, it could be her bush. I don't know, but there's a black spot. I've seen it.
Well, have you seen the laser disc?
Yeah, that's where the image is off.
That's the only place you can find it because they went in there and fixed that stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of shit you do when you're a bored animator who has to draw the same shit over and over again.
Bring up the picture. Because, like, somebody had done a book on, like, all this dark Disney. Because, like, my understanding is the Disney castle was actually supposed to be based on the Marquis de Sade's castle. That the guys who were doing the castles, when Walt Disney wanted a castle, he was like, I want a castle, but I want something special. So they were bringing him pictures of all these castles that they had. And he picked that one, and it just happened to be the exact same one as the Marquis de Sade. I don't know if it's true, but that was in an article I read once. The father of S&M. Boom. They didn't really show anything. Now, as you can see in frame 117.
Because, like, here's one thing I've noticed. So, like, there are those things that were like, no, it's totally true. And we were told that when we were younger, but we had no way to really investigate it, so we kind of just took it as true. And then, like, I find myself saying these things nowadays, and then I'm like, oh, shit, it's 2015.
We're trying to see if there's a Jessica Rabbit crotch shot. To the left and to the right. As you can see, to the left, the right.
Yeah, back and to the right. Back and to the right.
Thank you. I knew somebody.
Labia to the majora.
I knew somebody would catch that reference. You know, there's a woman actually doing that to her body physically, trying to give herself the Jessica Rabbit. Look,
there is a man or a woman on the planet Earth who is doing everything.
Yeah,
they say
every possible thing you can think of. There's at least one. It's like what's that internet rule about everything that exists has a porn of it? Well, when you've got a planet with 6 billion people on it, and there's at least one freako who's doing fucking everything you could possibly conceive of.
That reminds me. There's a porn of something that they were releasing like teasers for that I was gonna bring up. Shit, and now I'm not remembering it, and it was fucking hilarious. Maybe it's like an Age of Ultron knockoff already.
Bronies.
Damn it.
Bronies.
Yeah, bronies. Yes, like brony gay porn, maybe?
Well, I was going to say, there's a documentary on it. I watched it, and I was thinking, oh, it's going to be a bunch of, like, maybe college kids. Then they had, like, Marines and shit. I'm just like, and these dudes are, like, hardcore into it. Like, oh, I love Starfire in her. And then I'm just like, dude, it's fucking horse with, like, a heart on its ass. Chill the fuck up. So it's really
What
weird.
Are you talking about?
There's a documentary
talking about
bronies.
Oh, you're talking about the My Little Pony people?
Yeah. But we watched the documentary, and it was really interesting.
No. It was just, you know, the latest porno knockoff of a popular movie. Like, I don't know if it was like the Age of Ultron porno knockoff trailer. Like
they're trying to release. They've already got that though.
I can't remember how they get in trouble with that?
Because I saw the Avenger one, and that was
because it's technically covered under parody. Because it's, I know that's tough. It's pretty broad.
Like this podcast, man. It's believed covered under fair use and whatnot or whatever the shit
well,
you said.
But it's not really fair use when you got people costume
banging away.
There's two things. One, it's covered by parody, and two, Marvel Entertainment does not want to enter into a lawsuit against Vivid Video and have to deal with the consequences of that, you know? Because that's going to be all over the fucking news, and then that it just helps to popularize that stuff. So.
Yeah, cause somebody had put on a clip, and I saw it, and I'm just like, whoa, that looks way too much like the characters.
Oh, no. Sometimes they play with the Batman characters, because DC's a little bit more alert to that sort of thing, and responsible for that sort of thing. But with the Marvel characters, they go full-on accurate comic book accurate costumes. Yeah.
I was going to say, the She-Hulk looked like She-Hulk.
Yeah, that's why when you're saying, well, it looked like China in Green Plain, but yeah, your point taken. But yeah, like that Age of Ultron you're saying, obviously they can't borrow from the movie necessarily because they don't know what happens in the movie. Although I understand the script's out there if you really want to go looking for it. But because they're comic book fans oftentimes who are involved with the pornos, not only are the comic books accurate, but often they'll borrow elements from the comic books instead of the movies and portray that instead.
That's crazy, dude.
Lawsuit.
Well, that's how they got all their female character, because most of those, we still haven't seen, well, we've seen She-Hulk in the cartoon, but a lot of these characters are fairly obscure. They haven't been introduced in the Marvel Cinematic Universe or anybody, any cinematic universe yet, but the porn guys know about it because they read comic books.
So now we're going for two shows.
Well, you just kept talking. I just figured, Mod Mike might as well take advantage.
I just thought it was funny. I really want to watch that Gorilla Disney movie now. I'm pretty sure it'll pop up on Netflix or some shit sooner or later.
I believe it was on Netflix at one time. I'm not sure where it's at now, but I believe it was there at one time.
Probably on Hulu then.
Welcome to Odyssey Unleashed Podcast. I'm Curtis.
I'm Mike.
This is Bob.
Jay.
I'm Ross.
That would be our team of podcasters. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Suck it.
So this is going to be a podcast about various things, comic books being pretty centric in it. We'll probably talk about novels, movies, maybe a little wrestling references. I know Ross loves his video games, so he may be jumping on here and coming in to speak about that. I like video games, but not like he does.
No one likes video games like he does.
Right. He's kind of got the market cornered on that. What else, Mike?
Probably some TV, movies, a little bit of everything.
So we'll do an all-encompassing kind of thing, kind of like we're the Electric Eye. We'll go from there. Maybe some music, too, because we're a couple. I know he's a punk head. I'm a metal head.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, that's just kind of a sampling of what we'll talk about. There's really no script for this. Hopefully it goes well. I'd like to have like some creator spotlights maybe sometime. Some of the creators that got us into it, like Steranko, Burn, all those guys, Wrightson.
Steranko's cool.
Talk about them for a while, how they impacted you and what
some
you...
Some of the creators we've met.
Oh, definitely.
And you don't know what you're going to... you know how they're going to be.
Some creators that you met that you put on a high pedestal and you meet them and it's like, I don't like that guy. Anyway, come say hi to us. We are, or you can reach us at odyssey-unleashed@hotmail.com. You can see our Twitter handle at odysseyunleash. Odysseyunleash.wordpress.com is our WordPress blog. And come, it's going to be a good time, I think. So,
later.
If we see you, we see you. If we don't, we don't. We'll catch your ass down the road.
We received retweets from Adam Blackmoon, Ange, Between the Pages, Count Druncula, Eternal Rage, Keith G. Baker, Lord Horstocles, and Odyssey Unleashed Podcast, as well as favorites from Adam Blackmoon, Ange, Count Druncula, Eli Adelperin, Eternal Rage, Kyle Pettit, Lord Horstocles, Odyssey Unleashed, Ryan Daly, Show Me Your Bits Podcast, Steven Scarlotta, Sin at Alias Scarecrow, Oofta at Fryhole Yeah, and Zena Schultz, Ryan Count Druncula Daily wrote, "Wow, I might like you guys talking about music more than comics. Love the new podcast." Eternal Rage wrote, "I agree with the STP
Pearl Jam, and AIC talk. But why don't you go ahead and shit all over everything else I like? All the greats have to start somewhere, right? Pantera, 1984. I actually like the way they both sound. A product of the accessibility of music when I was younger, I guess. David Fiore wrote, very enjoyable cast, although I have a little interest in Star Wars or grunge. I do love the Pumpkins, though, especially Adore. Favorite early to mid-90s bands, Bikini Kill, The Gits, New Kingdom, L7, Hole, Magnapop, The Red Ants, Pumpkins, Nirvana. I firmly believe that you folks can make any topic interesting. It's quite an achievement. David Golding Artist wrote, I still love Pearl Jam. Can't beat their first two albums. Martin Gray wrote, just don't make any more podcasts about boring old Star Wars, ducks. Steven Scarlatta, the producer of Jodorowsky's Dune, wrote, thank you, looking forward to checking it out with regards to our podcast, Reeled Spine Zero, covering that movie. And wrote, I am all about Dune. Might have too much to say for comments. I freaking love that book. Eternal Rage wrote, on Reeled Spine 2, boom, I put my nuts in your face, quoting Senor Jose Fixit. He said, Fixit's Irish accent is hilarious because it's just his Hispanic accent. Then he quoted me by saying, Buck fucking Rogers said, Frank, your Mel Brooks hate almost made me shut off the feed. If it wasn't for Fixit, you'd be dead to me. Mac, you weren't your usual hateful self. Ha. If I still listen to music from when I was 12, wouldn't be listening to anything today. Chris Cross and Tag Team aren't around. I think Slayer actually became heavier from the start and redefined thrash. No Mercy equals standard metal. Candlebox had that one song, and Silverchair probably released some music that may or may not have been good, probably. I think it was called Far Behind, but that was at the tail end of grunge in 94. Eternal Rage wrote of the Dune episode, not that I didn't like Dune, but damn it, that was a long talk. And sound-wise, it wasn't unlistenable at all. Didn't mind it, really.
Oh, I finally watched Patch Adams. Dude, that is one dark-ass movie. I've never seen Patch Adams, and I watched it this past week.
What? Just what the hell got you to bring up Patch Adams?
Because right there for a minute, you sounded like Robin Williams. So Patch Adams is really dark if you haven't seen it.
I've not seen it. I will not see it. So
It's overly sweet at one point, and then someone's murdered, and you're just like, holy shit, did we just go left here?
Wait,
like,
they murder somebody? Yeah, Patch Adams?
Dude, that's how you're going. Like, I'm sitting and I'm thinking, man, this movie's like overly sweet. Like, I like Robin, but it's just really overly sweet.
That's what I heard. It was very sad.
And then all of a sudden, dude, just like out of nowhere, murder. And I'm just like, holy shit. Where did we come? Like, where did this happen? That was pretty much the interesting part of that movie. I was half awake, like, what, during Iron Man? Like, pretty much there, and then the murder happened, and I'm like, all right, I'm on board now. Like, what? Wait, someone was killed? Like, what's going on here? So,
I just joined this club. Okay, we're not going to follow up on that anyway.
No, it's fine. I just random thought. Yeah. All day.